Hey there, ever thought about what makes your heart beat a little faster?
Oh, you mean like when you discover a new track that just speaks to you?
Yeah, or finding a movie that you can't stop thinking about?
Well, get ready to feel that excitement all over again because Amazon Prime is here to take your entertainment and shopping experience to the next level.
Absolutely. Prime isn't just about getting your packages quicker. It's about diving into a world of endless possibilities. From the latest releases to exclusive content you won't find anywhere else.
And don't even get me started on the music. Prime offers concert specials that will transport you right to the front row. It's like being at the hottest gigs without leaving your living room.
I use Prime to tap in with some of my favorite artists' live shows from any and every genre of music.
Trust me, Prime is a game changer. It's like having a personalized superstore and entertainment hub right at your fingertips.
So why wait? Head over to Amazon.com/Prime and start experiencing entertainment like never before.
I'm home cold, you're standing trial. Why ain't I see you round back when I was down? I'm home cold, you're standing trial. Why ain't I see you round back when I was down? They ain't believing me in the beginning. Don't wanna hang around, now they see me winning. I'm home cold, you're standing trial. Why ain't I see you round back when I was down?
Yo, what's up, world? This your boy, Big Court from the Holding Court Podcast. And of course, today's episode is sponsored by Uncle P's Southern Style Fish Fry. Man, look, every time I go to New Orleans, that's what it's about. It's about culture. It's about spice. It's about having that authentic flavor. So, you know, this really encompasses that New Orleans style fish fry and that culture down there. So it's available in all grocery stores. So you want to taste of New Orleans, you want to taste of grandma's home cooking. Yeah, Uncle P Southern Style Fish.
Welcome to the Holding Court Podcast. I'm here with an amazing, distinguished gentleman, friend of mine, Mr. Breon Ansley, two-time Mr. Olympia Classic Physique winner, 2017 uh-huh. and 18.
Uh-huh.
And Arnold Classic Champion, 2017.
Yeah.
Right, right.
Yeah, you got
and
it.
We'll get into the rest of them because he didn't want a lot of shows. But it's a pleasure to have you on the show, my brother.
Pleasure to be on, brother. We've known each other for
yeah.
10.
Yeah.
10 plus,
yeah,
9,
yeah,
10 is 24 Fitness.
Yeah.
So, and it was good to see you over there at Flex.
Yeah, shout out to Flex, man.
Yeah, Flex Gym in Woodland Hills brought us together again. And are we muscle bound?
Yeah, come on, man. I'm just trying to keep up, bro.
Nah, you keeping up.
You know what? I'm not even going to lie, bro. You are inspiration because I see you in the gym, you know what I'm saying? And your dedication. It's phenomenal. You know what I mean?
Thanks so much.
The thing about it is, you know, for the folks that aren't, you know, gym rats or you compete at an elite, you know, level,
mm-hmm.
They don't understand the dedication that it takes. You have to really be committed.
Sure.
You know, to reach that level of physicality and to compete on that level.
Yeah.
Because Mr. Olympia means that you are the best physique in the world.
Yes. Yes.
What's that feel like?
And now, you know, just from you saying that right now, just gave me a little something. You have to think about that.
Think about that.
What it is.
Yeah.
You know, I'm humble and I just think of myself as the next man sometimes. But to think about that, that's pretty astronomical. And that's pretty, you know, that could get me emotional.
Right.
For sure.
Think about that. Yeah. I mean, I just said it. That's like you have the best physique in the world.
Wow. Wow. And so that feels amazing. That just feels like all the hard work definitely
yeah.
paid off because I work my tail off. And it's just like, you know, it's just a testament to having the mindset of, or, you know, like really being mature enough to have a mindset mm-hmm. to where you could, where you gotta block out a lot of distractions to be the best in the
real
world.
Real talk.
Oh man, lots.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to be consistent. Mm-hmm. You can't block out distractions for a week or two, three.
Right. And the thing about that is it's just like getting to some money, right?
Yeah.
Like it's one thing to get there, but then you have to maintain and still grow.
Oh.
And get better.
Yes.
Even past the best.
Oh, yeah.
You still have to get better.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Because
you know that that slope is slippery.
Mm-hmm.
When you get to the top, when you reach the pinnacle, and it got a little slippery on me because in 2019 and in last year, you know, second and third place.
Yeah, yeah.
We could say in the world again, but still it's not first.
Yeah.
You know, not what I was used to for the first 2 years.
Right.
So I had to retool the mind, mm-hmm. retool the focus, retool everything.
Mm-hmm.
And we definitely have to go back for it again this year.
So, okay. So, I mean, you're Superman, you know what I'm saying? We got that. We established that. So I want to go back to the beginning. So where are you from? Where did you grow up?
From Roland Heights, California.
Mm-hmm.
A little suburb right outside here of LA here. And I was just there from age 1 to 17.
Mm-hmm.
You know, spent a good chunk of the childhood there. And then went off to college, got a football scholarship.
Okay, so I want to go back to the neighborhood. So, I mean, you grew up middle class, both parents, single parent. Like, what was that?
Yeah, middle class.
Mm-hmm.
Both parents had great support by both parents, mm-hmm. and played all the sports in the world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, football, basketball, baseball, ran track.
Mm-hmm.
That was my thing. I wasn't watching cartoons on Saturday morning or Sunday morning. I was playing. I was in a game.
Okay.
Going to a game, a game. Somebody's field for sure.
That's dope.
Like I said, you know, when I can remember, I started running track first at age 6. And then everything came after that, all the rest of the sports.
Mm-hmm. Which sport do you feel like you were most proficient at, that you excelled at?
I would say football.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would definitely say football. I excelled at the most.
What position?
I was cornerback and running back.
Okay.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Yeah, I played both of those.
Yeah.
You know? But my first love was track and field.
Mm.
First love was track and field.
And
I still
love track and
field.
You did the 100?
Yes.
Yeah.
Sprint.
Yeah, because you got that.
Yeah,
you have the stature for that speed.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's what it was.
Yeah.
And then we're going to get into how that groomed me and mm-hmm. developed me into bodybuilding,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
you know, from developing those mm-hmm. intricate muscles and those muscles that are forgotten about mm-hmm. as we grow
mm-hmm.
to, you know, now to when we get into adulthood.
Mm-hmm.
So it was track and field. I still love track and field. Man, I don't miss an Olympics. I don't miss mm-hmm. a world championships, mm-hmm. you know, NCAA championships. I'm there.
So did you get a scholarship?
Yes.
Okay. Scholarship. Track scholarship?
No, not track scholarship. Uh-huh. Football scholarship.
Okay.
Yeah. Football scholarship to Iowa State University. Mm-hmm. Why did I stop running track? I wish it was a track scholarship. I mean, I stopped running track because I just started to see, you know, as a kid, we're like, okay, which sport makes the most money?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
We're like, who's making money in what sport?
Yeah.
And in track and field,
right,
you know, it's not a sport to where, you know, through and through, you're making a lot of money.
Seems like you kind of maybe have a short time. So if you were able to go to an Olympics and then get an endorsement deal for that short time,
mm-hmm.
is that where you could monetize that talent?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Olympic, you know, athletes and Olympic champions, mm-hmm. gold medalists are definitely monetizing
mm-hmm.
And are definitely the ones that are up there making it.
Yeah.
But, you know, I was just like, well, you don't have to be the best of the very, very, very best.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I can't believe my mindset was like that because of course, you know, now we're like, we got to be the best.
Right. Right.
You know, but I was like, well, I can get on an NFL roster and try to make it.
Right.
You know, so let me kind of refocus my energy and my mind towards football.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that's what you wanted to be as a kid. You said, I want to be a football player, or you knew you wanted to go into some type of sport professionally.
NFL football until, you know, that reality wasn't. Until it wasn't a reality anymore, which was about, 20, 21 mm-hmm. years old?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you go to Iowa. Did you went to Iowa and you went to school in Iowa?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, what'd you major in?
majored in business administration at first, and then I switched it to liberal arts, performing arts.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
So under that degree, what does that encompass?
That encompasses pretty much theater.
Okay.
The arts.
Ah, so you're a thespian.
Too. Yes.
Oh, I didn't know that.
You didn't know that, Corey?
I didn't know that. I didn't know
that. They still got them on the website for the Cyclones in the Department of Music Theater.
Yeah.
Really? Still listening.
Okay. Yeah. So you did theater?
Did theater.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
He has something called A Piece of My Heart.
Yes, I sure did.
Okay. Okay. A Piece of My Heart. Is that from Guy or is that the song Guy?
No, that's, what was it? It was a play about the World War II.
Okay.
Man, look at me. World War II or the Vietnam War, something like that.
So was it like a one-man show? You did a monologue or?
No. Okay. It was a show with an ensemble cast.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Dope. All right. I didn't know that. Okay. Yeah. Shit. You know I produce movies, dog.
Yeah, hey, dog.
Now I might have to come get you. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
I can act.
Yes. You play Universal Soldier Part 20 or something.
Hey there. Ever thought about what makes your heart beat a little faster?
Oh, you mean like when you discover a new track that just speaks to you?
Yeah, or finding a movie that you can't stop thinking about?
Well, get ready to feel that excitement all over again because Amazon Prime is here to take your entertainment and shopping experience to the next level.
Absolutely. Prime isn't just about getting your packages quicker. It's about diving into a world of endless possibilities, from the latest releases to exclusive content you won't find anywhere else.
And don't even get me started on the music. Prime offers concert specials that will transport you right to the front row. It's like being at the hottest gigs without leaving your living room.
I use Prime to tap in with some of my favorite artists' live shows from any and every genre of music.
Trust me, Prime is a game changer. It's like having a personalized superstore and entertainment hub right at your fingertips.
So why wait? Head over to Amazon.com/Prime and start experiencing entertainment like never before.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
All right, that's dope. That's dope. So what was the experience like? I mean, coming from California, which is a whole different type of culture and lifestyle and flow, going to fucking Iowa.
Oh, yeah.
What was that? And what part of Iowa?
Ames, Iowa.
I don't even know where that is.
Yeah, that's it's about 45, 50 minutes outside the capital of Des Moines.
Oh, okay.
Have you heard of Des Moines?
Yeah, okay. Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I'm from Missouri, so.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So absolutely. I know a couple cats from, what is it? It's Des Moines, and what's the other city in there?
There's Sioux City. There's Davenport.
It's the other one.
Iowa City.
Where is
Ankeny.
Where's Tender Kisses, the chick that did Tender Kisses? What was her name? What was her name?
Oh, I didn't even know she was from Iowa, though.
That was before your time.
Yeah. Tender Kisses. I know some, but I don't know where she was from.
No, she's from, what's the city she from in
Iowa?
Tender Kisses, Tracy.
Tracy Spencer.
Where's she from? Waterloo.
Oh.
Waterloo.
Okay, that makes sense because Waterloo is like, Waterloo is a little bit more hood, urban hood.
Right, and the cats I know, that's what they are.
Yeah.
Waterloo. So I know Iowa got his little, you know, they got a little something up there.
Exactly.
Yeah. So you go from California, from the West Coast, and I've never been to Rolling Heights. You know, growing up in Kansas City, Missouri, I thought that, you know, especially, I mean, we're not that far apart. I'm only a few years older than you, but I thought everything out here was palm trees. Oh. Everybody had Ferraris, nice cars. And I used to want to be a BMXer or a professional freestyler. So I thought everybody out here did tricks, you know, on bikes.
Wow.
But what was that like, you know, coming from that West Coast living, going to Ames, Iowa?
Culture shock, entirely.
Yeah.
Culture shock upon culture shock.
Mm-hmm.
I remember the very first thing that just blew me away was just how overly nice everybody was.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Overly nice everybody was. Because then, you know, you out here in L.A., you know, there's a lot of sizing up out here.
Yeah.
A lot of sizing up, a lot of a little, you know, okay, I'm not going to just embrace you like that.
Yeah.
You know, I want to see what you got first.
Yeah.
I'm going to see if you earn my respect.
Yeah.
All that.
Yeah, it's pretentious.
Out here.
It's
pretentious, yeah. Yeah. But out there, quite the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, obviously I wasn't used to as many Caucasian people.
Right. Wow.
You know, it's all white out there.
So let me ask you, so what was that like? Because this is one thing, like me being from Kansas City, from Missouri, I'll be honest with you. It's like in terms of race relations. In Missouri, you were kind of made to feel your color. You know what I'm saying? Especially being a big black guy.
Mm-hmm.
Where, like, when I would go back home to Kansas City, you know, some of the people would look at me like I just got out of prison. You know what I'm saying? Or like I'm about to do something.
Big black
but
dude.
Then in L.A., it's like they look at you like, who are you?
Yeah.
You know, you look like somebody. You do something. You
right.
know what I mean?
Right.
So was it that type of thing where it's like, uh-oh, did you feel some racial tension going back?
I luckily didn't feel the racial tension because mm-hmm. they knew that I was on the ball team.
Okay.
They knew
okay.
I was playing football.
Okay.
So then I had that, oh, you're from LA.
Uh-huh.
You play ball.
Yeah.
You're coming to entertain us,
yeah.
win some games for us.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was the kind of feel.
Okay.
So I liked it.
Okay.
I enjoyed that.
So they embraced you.
Okay. The embracing.
All right,
dope. Was 1,000%.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. I never felt any uncomfortable.
Okay.
Kind of racial.
Not even implicit, because sometimes it's an implicit.
It could have been.
Okay.
I didn't get it. Yeah, I didn't get it, and it didn't hit me. Uh-huh. But it could have been.
So,
that could have been.
Okay. So you leave the nest. You out of L.A. You away from your family, your mom and dad. You at a university. I know the turn up was real.
All the way real.
So
all the way real. Tomorrow, my ass had to. Come back and do summer school or go back out there to do summer school because my grades were slipping and they
wow.
like, listen, this is your GPA. You can't. It was like it got down to like a 1.6, 1.7.
Damn.
You ain't going to be able to play football unless you get that up. So that hit. That's yeah. when it hit me like, oh, shit. Oh, shit. It's getting real now.
Yeah,
and all that
yeah.
partying that I've been doing and all that, it's got to, you know, it's
yeah.
got to settle down.
What was the craziest thing that you did in college? Because, I mean, you 18, 19. You're away from the nest. You know what I'm saying? So I know how it is you're doing the right thing.
What rated station are we?
I know. You can. This is wide open right here. This the Holding Court podcast. I'm as raw as they
man.
Come. So, shit, you can say whatever. And the statute of limitation up. So, whatever
yeah.
you did.
Well, we know how it is with women.
Yeah.
I mean, that was the craziest. That was probably the craziest in the first game. You know, I'm a freshman, a
uh-huh.
true freshman.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we all know that it's like such a big deal to play as a true freshman.
Hell yeah.
Such a big deal.
Yeah.
Play as a true freshman. You a true freshman.
You start?
Yeah.
Okay, so you
yeah,
were, you
this was
the
first game.
You was the shit.
Starting. Mm-hmm. First game against Oklahoma State. I'll never forget it. And I end up having a pretty good game.
Mm-hmm.
So went to a, you know, and this hasn't happened to me. Went to a party. And met this white girl.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even think I've ever been with white girls before.
Oh, wow.
Before then. Yeah.
So she popped your white girl
I've
cherry.
I've never been with white girls before then. Now, man, you can't even. That's all I see
now. Can't peel you away
Shit.
From them. Huh?
Yeah. You know? And it was Iowa for sure. That
turned you out.
Yeah,
huh?
Man. All the way. So just. Met a white girl. We
mm-hmm.
we hit it off. We kicked it off, and we walked in the snow all the way to my dorm room.
Yeah,
and it went all the way live. It went all the way live, and I was like, "Damn, first game, first you know, first
yeah.
game of the season. That's how we kicking it off. This is going to be
yeah.
crazy."
Yeah.
So that was my freshman year, and then that was happening. Then sophomore year is when I had to go to
yeah.
Back to summer school because they were like, your grades, man, before the sophomore year started.
Yeah, yeah.
They're like, your grades, man, not good. So that was going on all my yeah. freshman year.
Yeah.
Just white girls left and right and right and left.
So let me ask you, since you talk about that real quick. So obviously coming from L.A., Rolling Heights, so you were dealing, your experience was with black women up until you got to Iowa.
More so, actually. Actually, I didn't have a lot of experience with black women. I had more experiences with Latin women and Filipino women.
Okay.
Yeah,
because that's what you were around.
That's what I'm around.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's what
you
I'm
know
around.
What? That's an interesting thing, man, because like, you know, you had that thing where, you know, the whole black men dating white women thing for some people was a thing. Right.
Right.
I can remember people coming at my nephew, Romeo, little Romeo.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and I had to tell people, like, you got to understand, people are going to date who they're around and
right.
what they're exposed to.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So right. if he grew up in Calabasas and behind the gate in rich areas. So
right.
there may not be
there.
A kind of, you know, a whole lot of black people, you
right.
know, there. So you're going to.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
So,
sure.
you know, like for me, I've been with my old lady since I was 15.
Mm.
But, you know, I grew up in the hood. Mm. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, and my old lady is black as they come. She's half Nigerian. You know what I mean? She African. You know what I mean?
You but, even had to ask me if I was Nigerian.
Yeah. I don't know where I got that from. But anyway, they, you know, people going to date who they around. Sure. You know what I'm saying? And sure. To me, I mean, love is colorblind. I don't, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think you date who you love, who you connect with. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So, and everybody had a preference. You know, it's all about preference.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you go from there, you knee deep in white women, you know what I mean? So
knee, ankle, neck, everything deep.
Yeah. Like, how'd you make it out with no kids?
Good question. Great question.
Just the by the blessings of God.
Yeah. I'll be honest. Holding court.
Right. This is holding court. Real talk.
Okay. So, you know, I had a few. We went to Planned Parenthood a few times.
Oh, shit. They didn't have the morning after back then?
I don't think Plan B.
Because this is the 90s. This is probably be 98, 97.
Yeah. That's when it
plan
was.
Plan B yeah, later.
97. You see, it came
years
89.
Later. Yeah. Yeah.
They didn't?
I don't think so. That's some new shit.
Okay.
I remember those days of being nervous. You know, you do some shit, you know what I'm saying? Then you waiting for the next 30 days, like your period comes.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know.
I had a couple of them running.
Yeah.
Hey, me and my old lady spent our whole teens like that. I mean, we had our first child at 16. I had my first daughter at 16, who she's 28 now.
Right.
After that, I mean, you know, shit, we was nervous every month for three years.
The Plan B didn't come out till 06.
Oh, wow. See, I'm just out there willy and nilly.
Yeah, man, pull out game weak.
Yeah, very weak. Very weak.
I used to say all my kids pull out kids, bro. You know what I'm saying? As my son sits over there like, right. What the fuck you mean I wasn't wanted?
that's this bonding right here, bonding.
Listen, I know when all my kids were conceived, bro.
Yeah.
I literally remember the time and the moment.
Right.
My oldest daughter, I was 15, actually. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And we was in my room in my twin bed, and my mama was asleep.
Uh-huh.
You know, that's what it was.
Yep.
and my son, shout out to Courtney III.
Uh-huh.
I remember my old lady was coming down the stairs, and she had on some short little, just, I shouldn't have been letting her go out.
Yo, close your ears, nephew. Close your ears.
Yeah. And she was just, the legs was popping.
Right.
And it was right there on the stairs, and bam.
Right.
You know
there.
What I'm saying?
Before she went
yeah,
out.
Yeah, before she went out. Yeah, I was like, take that with you. Now you can go.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And so then my youngest daughter, Courtney, because my son is named Courtney and my youngest daughter is named Courtney as well.
Oh, okay.
And she's 16. That was the one that was planned. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. My old lady was like, look, before I reach a certain age, I want another child. I was like, no. Mm-hmm. And I bullshit you not. She probably going to kill me for telling the story. But she literally had one of them, you know, them ovulating wheels. This is before the apps on the phone.
Apps.
Yeah. So women.
Oh, yeah. You can track it.
You can track your ovulation and when you get pregnant. That's what women have on their phones now. Shit. But before that, he's like, I wish we had that shit.
Shit. I know.
So my old lady had a ovulating wheel, which tracks when you can get pregnant.
Right.
And I'll be goddamn. She had that damn thing in her hand and was like, look here.
It's time.
I'm trying. Yes. Promise. And was like, come on. Let's get it. With the wheel in her hand. Wow. And I was like, nah, I ain't trying to have no more kids. I was like, man, we ain't going to have shit in life if we keep having kids. You know what I'm saying? And so, because we in California, I'm on the grind, you know
right,
what I mean?
Right.
And I be awesome. Goddamn, so she held me down. I tease her about it because I'm like, boy, you took that last child. So then she tried to negotiate with me. Like, no, just, okay, I take, just give me a little, you know, like, you know, just put the tip in. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And when I tell you, it was that time, boy, she locked on my ass like a crab. With the wheel in her hand still. Never dropped the wheel.
Whole time.
Never dropped the wheel. And so afterwards, I'm like, you know, I go off to sleep. I wake up like, what have I done? You know what I mean? And like clockwork, dog.
Yeah.
It was like, there we go.
There's one lie that was being told, though, because I've known Court, and I knew him before that baby came. He was having things. He ain't talking about having nothing. He was having things. you might have less.
Yeah.
But you was having things.
I just needed time. I'm like, because we in L.A., you know what I'm saying? And I'm like, we don't have the family structure, just us. Yeah. Like, man, and, you know, my old lady, not, you know, she half Nigerian. Mm. So she wanted a tribe. You know, she wanted.
Wow, yeah.
If she had it her way, shit, we had 10 kids.
Wow.
You know what I mean? I'm like, we ain't gonna have shit in life. We gonna be raising kids, take care of kids, you know. So, but yeah, so I know that whole struggle.
But she's a hustler at the same time, yeah. Nigerian, I bet.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. You know, oh, for sure. All I about bet. Education and all of that. Yeah. So, but yeah, so you make it out with no kids, you know. Shout out to Planned Parenthood.
You're right.
So you make it through there. Did you graduate?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I had to think about that for a second because, I stayed the fifth year.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, I stayed the fifth year, and then So they let me graduate, but I had to continue to take some classes mm-hmm. afterwards to actually get the physical diploma.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. So I did. I walked. Then after about the four and a half years.
Mm-hmm.
I actually finished taking some okay. classes.
Okay, kind of like my high school years. You know, I got to my senior year. It's funny you say that, man. I bullshitted all my high school years. I kicked it my high school years.
Right.
Man, a counselor called me down my senior year. Was like, check this out, Playboy. You supposed to have about 21 credits at this stage of the game. You got like 14.
Okay.
You know, and I was like, what are you saying? She was like, I'm saying you're not going to walk. And she said, unless you did this, I felt so stupid. That's why I tell youngsters, just do it now. Yeah. Don't make it hard on yourself. Because I end up having to have a full schedule. Here my senior ass is sitting up in freshman English. Oh, you know what I'm saying? You know.
Yeah.
Then I had to go to night school and pay for it. Wow. And then I had to take correspondence classes and pay for it.
Wow.
Just to graduate with my class.
Yeah.
So I did that same shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I had to catch it up.
Yeah.
And of course, same way.
Yeah.
I wish I was like, damn, you know, because it was tough. Mm-hmm. I was trying to move on,
mm-hmm.
especially as when I walked already, because mm-hmm. in my mind, it's like, you walked already. You good. You
right,
got it.
Right.
So you still have to fight through, you know, and buckle down to actually take the courses and do it.
Right.
So, yeah.
But it's commendable. Think about that, though. You still stuck with it and finished it and completed it.
Yeah. Even thank God it was that year because if more time had passed, mm-hmm. it probably wouldn't have mattered.
So what happened with your dreams of going? Did you have any scouts looking at you from the league or how you know, what happened with that?
Yeah, I was able to actually play in the Arena Football League.
Okay. Okay.
In 2000 and what was that, one or two?
Mm-hmm.
2002, I want to say. I played for the Jacksonville Tomcats.
Okay, dope.
Yeah,
dope.
Jacksonville, Florida.
All right.
And love Florida.
Okay. Yeah. Florida's love dope. Florida. Yeah. Florida's love dope. Florida. I just got back from Miami last week.
Oh, like, boy. You know.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. That's why I ain't been in the gym, man. I was on
oh, Florida. I know. You're still on vacation.
Yeah.
Still in Florida.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So you go to Florida. You play. How was that experience now? Because, you know, you kind of, you know, it's like the D League almost, right?
Yeah. Yeah,
right.
Elite football.
Okay. Yeah. So what was that like? Because now you're on a different level of white women. And now, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, what's that like? Because they like, oh, shit, you almost one step there.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that was a special experience as mm-hmm. well for that, mm-hmm. too. But the game is a lot different.
Mm-hmm.
The game is a lot faster. And I was you know, I made my mark with wheels and with speed and mm-hmm. with quickness.
Mm-hmm.
And I even had to adjust to that game,
mm-hmm.
you know, because the field is shorter and the way that they can, it's played and the way it's operated is, you know, people can get running starts
mm-hmm.
to, you know, and build momentum before the ball is snapped.
Oh, wow.
And yeah.
Damn, really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's crazy. That's a crazy little
rule. You can get a running start.
Wow.
Yeah, okay. while the defender is just standing there waiting for you to come.
Damn.
Yeah. Okay. So, and when the, because the field is shorter also, it just makes how it's played a lot. It's a lot quicker and it's a lot more sharp.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it doesn't mm-hmm. take as long for the place to develop.
Yeah. Right, yeah. Right. I get. Yeah, I understand exactly what you're saying.
Yeah, So I was banking on. Like, I had a lot of plays in college that I was banking on to where, okay, if I made a mistake, I have time with speed,
mm-hmm.
with my speed and mm-hmm. athleticism mm-hmm. to catch up to
the
and make the play.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
it's like boxing in a smaller ring.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. To where you're right there with the
you're
guy.
You're right there with
you
him.
Know?
Yeah.
Right
you can't
there.
Run a whole lot.
You, no.
Yeah,
no.
I got you.
So that was different for sure, and I had to really acclimate myself to that. I was battling a knee injury, ACL tear.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of like they say once you kind of tear, it's never really right. Is that true?
Well, it got right. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Before I had to get it scoped again.
Okay.
Then it got right.
Mm-hmm.
But this was like when I met you, mm-hmm. 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11.
Okay.
Right. Okay, that's when it got right. But mm-hmm. playing on turf,
mm-hmm.
That's when they had turf.
Damn,
it wasn't the grass
yeah,
turf now.
Yeah.
That's what
turf gets a lot of injuries too.
Oh yeah,
because your feet stick on it.
Oh like right, you can't, no. Oh, the grass turf gets injured.
No. The old turf.
The old turf. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. I would be playing on that.
Yeah.
Is it because it really gives? There's no give to it.
It's hard. Yeah. No give. Mm-hmm. Hard on the joints. Mm-hmm. Hard. You know, when you're falling on it, when you're planting on it, no give.
So it's basically just like, I mean, just some shit laid over a hard surface.
There you go.
Yeah. So
there you go.
It really.
Yeah. There you go. And your body feels all that.
Yeah. Wow.
And if I'm coming off of a knee injury mm-hmm. already, and then into that, mm-hmm. you know, playing grass,
mm-hmm.
And then I played in even college, even at Iowa, there were some schools that had AstroTurf, mm-hmm. that hard field, like
mm-hmm.
Kansas,
mm-hmm.
Kansas State,
mm-hmm.
they had it.
Wow.
And then so I battled the knee injuries,
mm-hmm.
Playing arena. And then with that, I was like, oh, you know, the season really did not get to unfold like I wanted to. Mm-hmm. I started off like a house of fire in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
But then the thing about with them is that in the area where the Jacksonville Jaguars, mm-hmm. they're there.
Yeah.
Right. And then the Jaguars pick from the Tomcats mm-hmm. where I was to go into mini camp.
Mm-hmm.
So all the players that are balling with the Tomcats,
yeah,
you get the invite to mini camp.
Okay, so you can get a look.
You get a look.
Yeah, you get
start
a look.
To get a look right yeah. there, at least with yeah. Jacksonville, because we right here.
Yeah, right.
So
did
I missed.
Did you go over there?
I didn't even get my look. They wanted it. Yeah. They said, Breon, if you can, you know, mm-hmm. we've seen enough in the first half of the season.
Mm-hmm.
And if you could get yourself together,
mm-hmm.
You can come on out and come to and play with us for in minicamp.
Yeah, yeah.
That couldn't happen. That couldn't
Why?
Happen because of my knee.
Oh wow.
My knee. Yeah,
damn.
it was paining me. It was hurting.
Damn.
I knew I wasn't going to be able to perform the way I wanted to mm-hmm. and needed to mm-hmm. make the damn team.
Mm-hmm.
So that was detrimental.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was really detrimental.
It had to be
that
devastating.
Was heartbreaking.
Because you put so much time and effort into that and to get to that point and then have that opportunity right in front of you.
Yeah.
How'd you deal with that?
It's very tough. It mm-hmm. was tough how I dealt with it, man. I was just kind of went into depression a little bit.
Yeah.
What's up, podcast land? It's your boy C. Diddy, one half of the realest podcast ever. Are you tired of the same boring, unoriginal podcast that lack depth, originality, and substance? Well, I got a solution for you. Join us here every Monday and Thursday on Revolt Podcast Network for the realest podcast ever, where we bring you the best in entertainment news, fashion, sports, music reviews, politics, and street culture with a mixture of the most powerful guests that you're going to find anywhere on the internet. Join us every Monday and Thursday for the realest podcast ever.
Yeah.
Yeah. I went into depression a little bit. I dealt with it through drinking, partying.
Yeah. Yeah. Me and depression are old friends.
Yeah. 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 And I went into a little darker place
mm-hmm.
after that. Cause then it was like the reality of, okay, shit, this is a lifelong dream of mine, and it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Now, it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Did the white women also slow down?
They slowed down, too. Oh, they slowed down, too. Yeah, because, you know, like, my access slowed down.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You weren't around as much. You were over there healing, yeah.
Right.
And then when you battle in depression, I mean, you know, it creeps up on you, and you start isolating yourself, and you don't even realize you're isolating yourself. You know what I mean? Because time, you lose track of time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you think that, you know, you people be like, all right, where you been? I ain't talked to you in a week. You're like, I just talked to you yesterday.
Right.
You don't even realize it was 10 days ago.
Right.
So I know how that is.
Right. And so it was tough.
Mm-hmm.
It was very tough. And that happened for about maybe 3-4 years.
Mm-hmm.
So
what did you do? So did you just put down football at that time during the 3 or 4 years?
Yeah. I mean, it was just.
What did you do during that time?
When I put down football?
Yeah.
Oh, drank, partied.
Mm-hmm. I'm saying, did you like go into corporate America or?
No, I was training.
Okay.
Yeah, I went into like personal training.
Okay. Okay.
Know?
Okay.
And then I started even trying to exercise the acting career.
Okay.
Yeah.
You were pursuing that in Florida?
No, and when I came back.
When you came
after,
back.
After
okay.
it didn't work out in
mm-hmm.
Florida,
mm-hmm.
and I came back home. My parents were living in Rancho Cucamonga at the
okay.
time.
Okay.
Yeah, and I was out there in the Inland Empire
mm-hmm.
drinking, partying, training, and trying to go on auditions and mm-hmm. do extra work and mm-hmm. find my way.
Had you start developing your physique, or you were just kind of
just nah? Because I was
okay. Okay,
I was in a, you know, I was kind of turned off by athletics a little bit. I'm surprised I was even training, but wow. I wasn't into it.
Wow. Yeah.
I wasn't into it with the clients.
You kind of had your experiences. You kind of had set up an aversion to it.
Yeah. I was bitter.
Yeah.
I was bitter. Yeah. I was like, you know, this is, I could have sworn that I was going to make it.
Yeah.
I could have sworn that I could have at least played 1 or 2 years in the league.
Yeah. I identify with that, bro. I kind of was like that, for a period. With music, you know what I mean? It was like one of those things. I started as an artist really, really early. You know, a lot of people didn't realize I started being an artist in 1989. I was like 13, 14 years old, you know? And when I get my record deal in 1995 with No Limit, you know, at that point, now you start talking about I'm already in it, you know, 6, 7 years. Wow. So by the time the early 2000s roll around, even though people are starting to see me, they don't understand I've been already here 13, 14 years.
Time.
Yeah. And so then when I started seeing that, okay, I kind of have gone as far as I think I can go, you know, let me start, you know, transitioning to something different.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. For a few years, I kind of, you know, it put a bad taste in my mouth. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. Fuck music. I want to do something different. That shit, you know. Mm-hmm. So I definitely can identify with that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And but then, you know, then, you know, if somebody like that grew up with sports and grew up with that mindset of like the type of focus and dedication that mm-hmm. you have to have.
Yeah.
You know, something's going to come along.
Yeah, for sure.
That energy, that same type of energy,
right.
Something else.
Right, absolutely, because it's in you.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, it's in you. It ain't on you.
Absolutely.
Know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So now you're trying to find your way. You know, you're training, you're pursuing the acting thing.
Mm-hmm.
How did you, is that where you got bit by the bodybuilding bug? Like, how did that manifest?
No, the bodybuilding bug came in about 2011, 9-11, because we're talking about when I was in the funk from like 3, 4, 5, 3,
yeah.
From 2003 to maybe 8, 9, 10.
Hold on real quick. Now that's crazy.
Yeah.
Cause see, I thought, hold on. So you mean to tell me you start bodybuilding in 2000 or developing your physique in 2011 and you win Mr. Olympia just 6 years later?
Yep.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I don't think has that ever been done? I think Phil kind of did that a little bit.
Phil, yeah. He probably, if it's anybody's close, or maybe Ron, you know, Ronnie or somebody back then, Lee Haney or somebody like that, but not many.
Yeah, see, people outside the world probably don't understand what we're saying. You know what I'm saying? Because you got to pay your dues.
Yeah.
For one, it takes years to even get to that level physically.
Yeah.
And then once you do, you got to pay your dues for years to even break top 10, top 5. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Damn, that's crazy.
Yeah.
That's a testament to your excellence.
Yeah, thanks so much. Wow. And you know, and the reason why I was able to probably achieve this so fast is because I said, well, you know, I still am competitive, man.
Mm-hmm.
I used all that energy from not making it.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't make it.
Mm-hmm.
You still have something to prove to yourself.
Right, right.
You know, and so I still wanted to prove to myself that I could be a champion, mm-hmm. that I can make it.
Right, right.
You know, and
so I don't want to miss a beat. So at that point, you kind of training, and then so you do all of that. You're training up until 2011, where you decide to bodybuild.
Training like running little mm-hmm. circuit workouts. Mm-hmm. Not bodybuilding.
Okay.
You know, little circuit workouts, little stuff with my dumbbells at the house.
Yeah. Damn.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. I wanted to remember, like, I'm acting in that time period too, right? So I'm told by all the managers and agents,
mm-hmm.
keep it slim.
Yeah.
Don't get too big.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So I'm just
I used to get that too.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. So I'm just doing track workouts, running a lot, circuit workouts, just trying to be cut.
Yeah.
You know?
You know, it's funny because with me, like, because Ken knew me when I was slim. You know, a lot of people think that I was just like this my whole life. I'm a skinny dude, right? I played point
guard
basketball.
When you got the sign.
So you want me to tell you what my motivation was? It was so funny. I would go on auditions and, you know, when I first moved out here and some stuff I would get. So I still had a very rapper urban look. I had long hair and everything. So, you know, my energy was different. But I remember I was chasing LL Cool J. I remember he had a video and I was like, you know what? I'm going to give me a bedroom body. That's why I started, you know, lifting weights. I was like, yeah, I'm going to give me just a little bit of cut. You know what I'm saying? And my body responded quick. I got to like 200 pounds. I think when I picked up a weight, I might have been 185 at 6'3". You know.
You know, when I noticed it, when you did the magazine cover, what was it?
Yep. Yeah.
I was like, damn, he getting big.
Yeah.
You weren't big, but it was just, I seen it quick.
Who was that cover with?
I did that with my co-star with Dayana Jermaine. It was a hip hop magazine. I produced a movie with me and Cat Williams and Lawrence Hill Jacobs, and I did a soundtrack to it.
Mm.
And so they put me on the cover of a magazine, but it's like my body responded really quick, you know, but I kept pushing that limit. Mm-hmm. It was like, okay, that's 200. Let me see what 210 look like.
Right.
Let me see what 215 look like.
Right.
Then everybody was like, man, you getting too big, you know. And it's so funny because my old lady was like, you know, you kind of did a Michael Jackson. You know what I'm saying? Like, when he was at Thriller, he was cool, right? He got some little work done. He's like, dude, you went all the way to, you know, to Michael Jackson with that. You look like a white woman.
Yeah,
You went, yeah, you went overboard with the bodybuilding. So I know how that is. You can, once you get it.
And if she says you went overboard, she saw somebody like Phil Heath.
Right.
That's what I always say, too. I'm like, when I go out with my girl, you know, we in public and people look at me.
Yeah.
Like, they look at me like I haven't seen anything like this before.
Right.
I'm like, they would shit their pants if they saw Phil Heath.
Right.
Who's 60, 70, 80 pounds of muscle.
Yeah.
More than me.
Yeah. But in all fairness, though, Breon, I mean, you a few inches shorter than him, too.
A few inches shorter,
You carry a lot of muscle on a compact frame.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So in essence, it's the same thing, just compact.
Just compact. Oh, so we're giving them the illusion.
Yeah. But Phil is amazing. But we'll get, so now, okay, so you get bit by the bug. When did you say, or what made you say, you know what? I'm going to get in the gym. I'm finna do this bodybuilding shit.
Yeah. Okay, so I was working at 24.
Mm-hmm.
Where we met, and I started in 2010.
Mm-hmm.
So in 24, at the time, was a lot of competitors. Mm-hmm. It was the IT gym.
Yeah, right?
That was the gym that was
Which
like.
Which one was this?
It was North Hollywood.
Yeah.
24 North Hollywood.
Yeah, that's where,
24 NoHo.
Yeah, that's where. Yeah, NoHo.
And NoHo.
NoHo.
Everybody, yeah.
Everybody
went there.
Was there. The porn stars.
No white women. Yeah. And all the no yeah. black women. Yeah,
yeah,
any
yeah,
women.
Yeah, yeah. It was like and a club. It was like a club in there.
It was.
That's
it was
the like, one on Chandler?
Yep.
Yeah, it was like a club.
I used to live across the street from it. I'd look at it and be like, I ain't going up there.
Oh, yeah. That was the one, man.
Yeah, it was like a high school, you know what I mean? Yeah. So
anybody who was anybody, right, was going to that 24. So that happened to be, you know, a lot of competitors that ran through there, too, that were getting, that was getting ready for shows, that had been in that world, knew about that world, and they would always ask me, do you compete? Have you even thought about competing?
Mm-hmm.
And for a whole year, Courtney, I was saying, no. Haven't thought about it. No, don't compete. No, I just work out.
Yeah.
And I was just still doing the circuit training type stuff then.
Mm-hmm.
I hadn't even really picked up weights and started lifting any heavier or bodybuilding style then. Mm-hmm. And people were asking me.
Mm-hmm.
So after about a year, I was like, man, you know what, man? Let me go see a show.
Mm-hmm.
Let me go see a show.
Mm-hmm.
See what it's all about.
What was the first show you went to? The one in Culver City?
No, it was actually a natural show.
Okay.
A natural show at Fairfax High School.
Okay.
Yeah. At Fairfax High School, I went to that show. And me and my boy are sitting in the audience just, you know, looking at the show. And people are coming up to me asking me when I'm going to be on.
Mm-hmm.
When am I going up there?
Okay.
Yeah. When is my category going up there?
Yeah.
I'm like, nah, I'm just chilling.
Yeah.
I'm just chilling, you know, watching the show. I'm a spectator.
Yeah.
And so I saw them and I was like, I could do this.
Right.
At least on this level. I could win on this level.
Yeah.
You know, it was natural.
Mm-hmm.
We put everything out there. Now, what I do now is completely not natural. We'll slide through it. So then I said, okay, in about 2 months, I started preparing for a show. It was going to be at Culver City.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, about 2 months later, I was like, okay, I see what this bodybuilding thing is all about. From everybody telling me now, you know, from everybody asking me, I see what it was all about.
Mm-hmm.
Let me go ahead and do my first show. I coached myself.
But you already had a foundation of diet and training. So
Because I was training at 24.
Right.
Took the certification and all that. And I was just going by that.
Yeah.
The little NASM certification.
Right.
Kind of to get me prepared for the bodybuilding show.
Okay. Okay.
So I was 100 and was it 158 or 160?
Mm-hmm.
I think it was 158.
Mm-hmm.
158 pounds was my lean mass, right? Mm-hmm. How I came down and what the weight was for my first show, 2012.
Mm-hmm. Was that bodybuilding or physique?
It's bodybuilding.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But of course the lower divisions.
Yeah. Right. Right.
I think it was, welterweight.
Mm-hmm.
Welterweight.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was like 150, either 158 or 160.
Mm-hmm.
I ended up winning.
Wow.
I ended up winning my class.
Yeah,
because you have the bantamweight, the welterweight, the middleweight, the light heavyweight,
right,
heavyweight,
and
right?
This is natural.
I was natural.
Okay,
yes, I was natural.
Were they natural though? Because you know some of these.
There were some cats that weren't.
Yeah, they think we don't know, but we know. Yeah. I can tell.
Yeah,
yeah. Even if you're taking them, but a diuretic. I'm like, okay.
Yeah,
yeah.
Because as a matter of fact, I won my class, but I didn't win the overall.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So and the dude that won the overall, he wasn't.
He wasn't natural.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah,
no.
I know how it goes.
Yeah. So that was that. And then I was like, damn.
Mm-hmm.
Right from then, I was just asking people around, you know, and then you go out and just mingle in the crowd and everything and just continue to watch the show and just talk to everybody. I was asking people, I was like, okay, so what is the highest level of this sport that you can reach, you know, as a male bodybuilder?
Mm-hmm.
And they were telling me the Olympia, Mr. Olympia.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, really? Okay, that's the highest level, huh?
That's the Super Bowl.
That's the Super Bowl of bodybuilding, right? Mm. So I was just, I went home that night and I was like, well, you know what? Let's do it. I gave myself, I said, I'm going to give myself 5 years, 5 year plan.
Yeah.
To win Mr. Olympia.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't happen in 5 years, then I got to move on to something else. Mm-hmm. I got to do something else. And then we went to the drawing board. I hired a coach, got a coach. You remember Dennis Sergovsky, Russian dude. Looked like Arnold. He came in there in 24 too.
Okay, probably if I see him.
Yeah, if you see him.
The name sounds familiar.
Yeah.
Dennis, yeah.
Dennis.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you came over there a little bit for gold.
Yeah,
and
gold. Dennis.
Yeah.
I know I know Dennis.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And so I hired him as a coach.
Okay.
Okay, because he knew about the game and all that and knew a little bit.
So I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. So just for, okay, so when he comes in, does he introduce you to the supplements?
Yes, he does.
Okay, cool.
Yes, he does.
Okay, all right.
Because then I was like, okay, well, I just already figured. I said, we ain't gonna try to be on the journey to Mr. Olympia natural.
So since you keeping it 100, right? I'm gonna keep it 100.
100.
We do on hold
all
court,
the way,
right?
All the way.
So I remember when I first started my bodybuilding thing, right? At first, I was just working out. I know shit about shit. But then I started training with bodybuilders that competed.
Uh-huh.
And so I remember my homeboy. Shout out to he an OG. He done won Venice shows and he do the Masters and all that, right?
Yeah.
So I remember same thing with you. I would be in the gym and people would be like, man, when you compete, you got great genetics, you know, all that shit.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I knew I was never going to compete, but at the same time, I just wanted to be big. I wanted to walk into the room and look like a monster, you know. And so I remember saying, you know what, Court? Man, you got great genetics, man. You take this, you take that, you take that. I'm like, oh, yeah. I was like, well, can you give me some? You know what I'm saying? And so he said, yeah, I can get you all that. I said, well, shit, yeah, I tried. You know what I mean? It wasn't until he told me, and I get you some pens.
Uh-huh.
I was like, what's that? You know what I mean? So he said, oh, well, you know, you got it. And I said, oh, shit. I said, that killed it for me right there. So I tell people all the time, I would have been on some shit if it wasn't for that shit. The pill I'd have took.
Yeah.
But the other shit, I was like, oh, nah.
I
can't do that. You know what I'm saying? That shit killed it for me. I was like, because I tell motherfuckers, I was like, do you know that if I could take the pill or if I had the heart to do that, I'd be walking around this bitch like Ronnie Coleman. Like
300, 320,
30. Like,
you would. Your height. It'd be crazy.
So I understand that decision and that mindset of, okay, this is the, but you know, we're informed and we're educated. Even though I never did it, I'm very well versed in it. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And even to the point to where, because when you're into something, you study it.
Yeah.
You know, and I was always fascinated with it. Even the what does Flex call it? Is it him or Arnold? What's the fancy name they say for the supplements?
They say
sports science something.
Chicken or something?
No, they call it sports science medicine or some shit. Some, you know, some egghead shit they came up with.
Right.
But I was always fascinated by it. And a lot of people, because of their ignorance, they don't understand that it's not what you think it is. Mm. You know what I'm saying? I mean, of course you have those horror stories. I know motherfuckers that do them Culver City shows. What are they called? What is it? The amateur shows?
Yeah, the Culver City.
UPC?
NPC.
NPC.
Yeah, that's the amateur NPC division.
Right.
Yeah.
They probably take more than pros. You know what I'm saying?
They do.
Yeah, what I mean? Yeah. So I knew a cat that was taking, he was taking like, oh my God, 300 milligrams of, A-bombs every day for like 5 years.
Mm.
Why the hell?
Every day for five years.
See? So I tell people, if you drink tequila every day, mm-hmm. you know, and for 5 years, 10 years, and you end up with cirrhosis of the liver,
right.
What do you think was going to happen?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So there's a such thing of abusing things. You know, you can
that
abuse aspirin.
Total abuse.
You can abuse aspirin. You can abuse, you know, soda.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can abuse anything. So from a lot of people's ignorance, they don't understand that anabolics can be used safely.
Yeah.
And this is one thing. Even myself, you know, Pete. He was making fun of me actually recently because he was like, man, you big, but what you gonna do when you get 50 and your muscles start sagging and doing all that?
You probably like they ain't gonna be sagging.
No, because I know what to do. You know what I'm saying? Listen,
yeah,
I'm 44. There it is. So I know I'm 44. My testosterone starts dipping. It started dipping 5-6 years ago. You know what I mean? So I know that when I get to that age, I know what to do.
Yeah.
Go to the doctor, and I'm going to have to get it
yeah.
if I want to make. And then it's not even just about the muscle, but a quality of life.
You sure.
understand testosterone is a healthy, you need that healthy
yeah.
hormone
yeah.
for brain function,
yeah.
for energy, for mm-hmm. for your sex drive, for everything.
Everything.
You know what I mean? So
everything.
There's a such that I just wanted to touch on that because we're informed. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But mm-hmm. go ahead. So he introduced you to the supplements.
He introduced me to the supplements.
Okay.
And, you know, it became real. It became really real
yeah.
at that moment because I was the same way.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, damn, man, I don't like needles.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't like it.
Yeah.
They hurt. They, mm-hmm. You know, I'm scared of them. Blah, blah, blah. And he's like, this is the best way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
This is the healthiest way to do it. You know, that's the healthiest way.
Right, right.
Liquid as opposed to the pill.
Right. Yes, right.
Better because for the liver.
Yeah.
For the liver and the
toxicity,
kidneys.
Yeah, the toxicity of the orals.
Yeah. So I'm like, damn. So he began sticking me.
Oh,
sticking
damn.
Sticking me in the ass.
Okay.
Right there. Sticking me in the ass.
Pause.
Yeah, we're going.
Yeah.
We're going. Drop them and let's go. And I was like, damn, okay. You know, I just start getting used to it, man. Mm-hmm. The weeks start building up where we training.
So let me ask you. I mean, so once you start taking the supplements, I mean, did you notice a difference with the – what did you notice? Was it the strength? Was it the recovery or everything?
All of that.
Yeah.
Strength, recovery.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I could go to the gym again and lift the same body part in, like, 2-3 days
mm-hmm.
after when I just broke it down 2-3 days ago,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed the look.
Yeah.
And the look of the muscle, the quality of the muscle.
Yeah, you're harder.
Hard.
Yeah.
Hard.
Yeah, hard.
Like, damn, I see muscle popping
here and here. Yeah.
And you start to feel yourself,
that's,
man.
That's how come we got the trained eye. When a motherfucker say, yeah, I'm natural, we like.
Nah.
Motherfucker, I can see the striations. I can see the striations in your full pump muscle.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You ain't ate nothing and it's full of glycogen.
Right.
Like, stop it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right. You ain't fooling nobody.
You ain't fooling nobody.
Uh-uh. So, yeah, I started noticing all those things.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, man, like. I'm a kid then still. Well, actually, Courtney, I'm 41 now. I didn't mm-hmm. get started into this game until 32.
Oh wow,
a little bit later. Older,
okay, yeah,
you know,
so that's kind of that's a safe age because you had already built a foundation.
Mm-hmm.
So you already had a foundation and your body was already developed.
Yeah.
So
my body's ready.
Right,
my body's ready at 32.
It's prime. Yeah,
you know. You're ready to take something.
Yep.
You're ready to go.
Right.
And so it was ready. It mm-hmm. was ready. It started taking and I started developing, gaining weight, gaining muscle.
Mm-hmm.
And man, I started just like marveling, you know, getting a little, you know, like obsessive.
Yeah, yeah.
Really getting obsessive, looking at my damn self in the mirror all the time, posing all in 24 in the mirror all the time.
But that's what that sport is, though.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I always say the people that look the best are the people that know their bodies the best.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know your body. Once you have mastered your body, that's why you're able to make the necessary changes with diet, with supplementation, with exercise, because you know your shit. So you have to be in tune with you like that.
Yeah, obsessive about it.
You have to be obsessive.
Yeah.
That's anything that you want to succeed at, though.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
Whether it's business, whether it's a job at work, whether it's sports, if you want to be in the number one, you kind of have to exercise a level of obsession.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So now it doesn't make me feel like I was doing too much now.
Oh, no. Every successful person that I know, from Master P to whoever, like, you have to have a laser focus on what the fuck it is you want.
Absolutely.
And you have to be selfish with yourself.
Yes.
You know, you don't get to that number one slot by being nice and, you know, because, you know, you have to be selfish with yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You have to be very selfish.
Yeah.
In this game. And that's what I started, you know, I was being selfish. I started not hanging out with certain people because remember, up to then, I was like, you know, in the party world doing all this and kind of, you know, the acting world with acting friends.
Right.
And,
right.
They're not into this bodybuilding thing. They don't feel it. They don't understand it.
Right. Right. Yeah.
So the show is going to come up in 2012. It's going to be my first show.
That was still an amateur show.
That was still an amateur show.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I already did the first one. Uh-huh. Now I'm going to do the second one. Now I'm going to do the second one under the coach.
Okay.
And under the
NPC?
NPC.
Okay.
And then under the goods.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Right.
Yeah. Like Flex, you know?
Yeah.
You know, right. It's funny because Flex always talk about how, I didn't mean to divert your conversation, but Flex always talks about how he's glad he told Ronnie about the supplements.
Oh.
But then it's kind of like,
yeah, boy, went on a
tear. It was like I was whooping his ass up until I gave him the sauce.
Yeah.
He gave him the sauce. He never looked back.
Woo! Boy.
Never looked back.
And that's Ronnie still to this day.
Yeah. So you go to NPC. Now you got your cape on.
Mm-hmm.
So now you
the cape enhanced. Is on.
Yeah, the cape is on.
Yeah.
So what happened there?
Okay, so the show is going to be in July. It's the LA Championships. And you know, make the long story short, I did well. I won the overall.
Mm-hmm.
I won the overall, won the whole show. I got the sword.
Mm-hmm.
And
that was your first NPC show?
Well, second.
Okay.
The first one was when I was the lightweight, the welterweight.
Okay.
Second one.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And I was considerably bigger. I was 181 pounds on stage.
Wow.
Yeah,
so 30, you gained, what, about 20 pounds of muscle?
Yeah.
Yeah.
In a year.
In a year. Wow.
In a year.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
That's impressive.
Whew.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, I shocked myself.
Yeah.
I really did.
But it's a lot of good genetics, too. Genetics plays a big role.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. You have to have that going for you to, in order for the muscle to look, have a certain roundness and have a certain pop to it, you know?
And the insertions and all of that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. I like Courtney.
Yeah. Insertions. Easy, yeah.
Yeah. I like you knowing that. And because, you know, we know guys, Courtney, that are strong.
Yeah, for sure.
We see these guys in the gym.
Yeah,
strong.
Strong.
And you know, can perform at a certain level that's like really, really marveled, you know, and it's really good.
Yeah.
But their body looks
a certain way.
It doesn't add up.
Because bodybuilding, you know, it's art. It's sculpturing. You're sculpturing your body. Powerlifting is a technique, moving something from point A to B.
Yeah.
Bodybuilding is about finesse.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know, a lot of times I know you get it because people always think we lift so heavy. You do so heavy.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, the muscle really doesn't know how much it only responds to tension, you know? So I tell people all the time when they bench pressing and I'm like, dog, you probably going too heavy. Cause now what happens is you're sharing that load, you know, you're taking it off your chest and now you're sharing that load with your triceps, your delts, you got your back arch so far, you can drive a truck under that. You know what I mean? So now you where this, if you lighten it up, this would get probably 80% of it.
Absolutely.
Muscle recruitment.
Absolutely.
Now you're probably getting 40.
Yeah.
So really, what are you doing?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. And spinning your wheels.
Yeah. And you have to know your body. Mm-hmm. Again, a lot of these guys look blocky and square because you're doing heavy ass deadlifts because mm-hmm. you're trying to impress somebody mm-hmm. with deadlifting 600 pounds mm-hmm. and, you know, and you square as shit.
Mm-hmm.
But you should have seen that you were predisposed to that. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So to say, okay, I kind of got a blocky look. Let me not add to that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, you know, a lot of
the knowing
they don't have the bodybuilding intelligence.
Wherewithal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So we end up winning that show.
Mm-hmm.
Going back to the show now. We end up winning the show. Winning the overall, you win a sword, and it's like, wow, okay, we're on the, we are on route, right, to this 5-year plan.
Yeah.
Curious,
what did your parents think?
Oh, that's a good question. That's a good question. They thought it was great, and they didn't ask me about the steroids yet.
Mm-hmm.
That didn't have the thing I was worried about was them asking me about the steroids.
Okay.
Because I know they didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
I know that they were, you know, they're old school.
Mm-hmm. But overall, did they think that it was a pipe dream? Like, did they think, what is this shit? You know, like, how are you going to support yourself? Because if they don't know that world and know how you can really thrive in it and still, you know, take care of yourself, did they think, you know, like, cause especially with parents, they could be old school. You tell me you want to be a singer. They like, oh, no, yeah, go get a job.
Right.
Were they like that? Did they get it?
No, they were pretty supportive. Actually pretty supportive. Cool. Yeah, it was cool. Mm-hmm. It was cool. They were pretty supportive, and you know, whatever you want to do, you want to do this, okay. Mm-hmm. You want to excel at this, okay.
Mm-hmm.
So that was really nice.
That's dope.
Because
that's dope.
Yeah, who knows how it would have ended up if they weren't.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
did they ever get around to asking about the supplement?
They did the next year. But let me get to that because I got to tell you how. Because then now the next year in 2013, I was able to win the pro card.
Ah, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's when it got real.
Yeah. So real. They're in Vegas at the show. And now, you know, the show that I won in 2012,
mm-hmm.
It's, you got some guys that look enhanced.
Mm-hmm.
You have some guys that look natural.
Mm-hmm.
You have a little bit of something in between,
mm-hmm.
but you got most of the guys actually that look natural.
Mm-hmm.
At the USA's, the national show.
Yeah.
Everybody
monsters,
looks enhanced.
Monsters.
Everybody.
Yeah, monsters.
Even the smaller division.
Yeah, monsters.
Yeah, bantamweights.
Yeah,
their
yeah.
muscle is even like,
yeah.
Damn, you're 150 pounds.
Yeah.
You look like that.
You're like, I didn't even know the body had that muscle.
Yeah,
what muscle was that? What is that called?
Yeah.
Yeah.
At 150.
Yeah, yeah.
And so you guys got that are up to, you got two guys that are up to 240, 250.
Hell yeah,
looking
shredded.
That way.
Shredded.
And this is so from the bridge of amateurs to the pro.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
It's yeah.
Like, if you're gonna win this show, okay, now you're gonna be a pro. So I was able to win that
mm-hmm.
In the middleweight class
mm-hmm.
At 176.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 176 1/4. And then that's when they asked. They was like, "Are you on steroids?" And you know, I kind of got a little hot, a little nervous.
Sitting there like,
yeah,
no, mama.
You're right,
I
right.
No,
after winning the show.
Nah, I just ate some spinach or something.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Popeye. I just said, yeah. I said, yes. And it's, this is, you know, but it's not what you think as far as, you know, like abusing it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's, I get blood work done.
Yeah.
Make sure all my levels are correct.
Right.
I'm not doing a whole lot.
Right.
The amounts, the
people
doses.
Don't understand. Like, Breon, it doesn't take a lot.
Right.
It doesn't take a lot.
It like, really doesn't.
You know, you have the
especially
ignorant.
Someone with the work ethic and great genetics.
And great genetics.
Yeah.
Yep. It doesn't take a lot.
Really does not.
Mm-hmm.
Really does not. As opposed to even nowadays, though,
yeah.
I don't even know the girls. I even know the girl, bikini girls that are doing a lot.
Man, they look crazy.
It's
dude.
Crazy.
They look crazy.
It's crazy. And now that this new wellness division is out.
I didn't even know that.
You
was
know about
division.
The wellness division?
No.
Woo, Courtney.
What's a wellness? What does that mean?
It means that, yeah, get this. It means that the girls can be, have bigger quads and legs and
okay.
more ass.
Okay. Okay. Okay.
Essentially.
Yeah.
Because
nice division.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a great division. Oh, it's a great division. Because the bikini girls, they have to have slimmer legs,
mm-hmm.
right? So they came out with this wellness class mm-hmm. now to where it's okay, since you guys want bigger glutes, you guys want bigger legs, and it's such a big trend.
Mm-hmm.
I know you've seen it on the gram. We can't help but see it on the gram.
Yeah, but I thought it was a lot. Okay, so it's bikini. Then it's, so now it's wellness.
It's bikini, then, wellness, yeah.
Then physique or fitness.
Figure.
Figure.
Yeah.
Then fitness.
Yeah.
Then physique.
Figure and fitness kind of look alike.
Okay.
Yeah. They kind of look the same.
And they done away
with. Then physique.
And they done away with women's bodybuilding.
It just came back last year.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Just came back last year.
Okay.
Yeah. Because the owner of the Olympia now was the owner of the women's bodybuilding division.
Okay.
Wings of Strength.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it came back last year.
All right.
Yeah. So now this wellness thing, and these, going back to the wellness girls are, because it came from Brazil.
Okay.
And it came from like the Middle East and stuff to where,
okay,
it's like eating breakfast to use stuff over there as a woman.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So that's the look that you see on Instagram. The quads with the fat booty.
Girls have quads as big as me now.
They do. Oh, shit. Yeah. I be seeing some of these girls. I be wanting to ask them. Like, chick, what's your leg workout?
Yeah.
I ain't going to lie. I done stole some of them in the gym. I be seeing them in the gym.
You know what I mean?
Hey, I ain't even going to lie. I seen your old lady in the gym doing a one leg squat.
Yeah.
And I was kind of looking like, I'm going to have to try that.
Yeah.
Got to try that one.
Yeah. I was looking at her like, I was like, babe, you getting a little big. Like, you gonna be out of the class.
She do wellness?
No, she does bikini.
Oh, okay. Yeah, she's knocking on wellness door,
yeah,
huh?
You looking a little wellness. But she brought it back down.
Yeah.
Yeah, her coach got her bringing it back down. So that's a good thing. But, yeah, those girls, I mean, they're – and see, that's what happens when you just want to be the best.
Yeah, yeah.
You can get a little wrapped up.
Yeah,
and
you're always pushing that envelope.
Yeah, pushing the envelope. Mm-hmm. And especially with that, they are doing that.
Yeah.
They really are. But my parents, they were like, okay, just, you know, if we see anything off about you, going wrong,
yeah,
we strongly suggest that you let this thing go,
mm-hmm.
you know. Mm-hmm. Luckily, they didn't see anything off with me. Nothing went wrong.
Yeah.
And then so they saw the progression.
Yeah.
And I just, you know.
Hope you guys are enjoying the show. It's your boy Big Court here on the Holding Court Podcast, here with my guy, Producer Ken.
What's going on, bro?
What's going on, bro?
No, chilling, man.
Hey, I wanted to take a second just to talk to you guys about this new product, one of our new sponsors, Manscaped, the Lawnmower 4.0.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's incredible, bro.
Man.
Incredible. It's changing my life.
Is it? How?
I mean, I'm a hairy motherfucker, bro.
Okay.
Like, real talk.
Yeah.
I had the same clippers, the wall clippers, and they can nick and they can cut. So I'm cutting down there. But I'm also cutting up here.
Yeah.
It's not a good look. You know what I mean? So now I got the Manscaped and I can separate my clipping.
Okay.
You know what I mean? One for the hair.
Uh-huh.
One for the nuts.
Ah, so you got a dedicated nut clipper.
Okay. And it's not giving me the nicks and the bumps. I know you was talking about the razors and the...
Man, listen. I use razors for years. You know, I would have the nicks. I would have the cuts. I would use scissors to try to trim and all that. And you clip your skin, clip your balls, and you down. My old lady hated that, you know what I mean? Because I have an alter ego, you know, she calls me Lord Impaler. Yeah, you know what I mean? So in order for me to properly be Lord Impaler, I can't be all nicked up and uneven and itchy and all of that, you know? So, so, you know, I'm thankful for the Manscaped Lawnmower because for one, it's got an LED light, you know, so you can see everything.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? You can really get detailed. Yeah, you can get really detailed. It's got guards. So you can put on the guards. Yeah. You want a one or two. You want a fade, a taper, whatever it is.
Yeah, I like a taper.
You know what I'm feeling? You feel me? You know what I'm saying? So you got all that. Also, it's got skin safe technology, so you don't have to worry about all that. And it's got wireless charging, so it's easy to travel with. Don't have to deal with a bunch of cumbersome cords and all that. We got enough of that with our phones.
Yeah, no, it's a ceramic blade. Like, it's a good product. Mm-hmm. Honestly, I have a lot of. I've shaved my head since I was 16.
Oh,
so I've gone through edgers, all the different brands of clippers, and you know.
Yeah,
I try to keep it groomed. It makes it look bigger for us who ain't Lord Impaler. You know what I mean? Some of us just poke, jab, stick and move. You know, we do what we can.
Yeah.
So, I go down there
Yeah.
Give it a nice presentation.
There it is. There it is.
You know what I mean? So it's nice. It's nice.
Yeah.
It's,
yeah. Keep and I'm clean. Sure your lady will appreciate it because nobody likes pubic hairs in their mouth. So, you know, that's a good thing.
That can kill the mood.
Yeah, kill the mood. Because it's like when you get the pubic hairs in your mouth, it's hard to get it. It's hard to find.
They get stuck between their teeth. Yeah, you got know a little what bit mean? Of a gap, too.
So no more hair, no more pubic hairs in your mouth if you get the Manscaped Lawnmower 4.0. So now, how do you get it? You go to manscaped.com. I want you to type in the promo code HCP4. You get a 20% discount, correct?
Yeah, that's Holding Court Podcast, HCP number 4 in the promo code section.
And they also, guess what? They also have free shipping worldwide.
Oh, I got friends in Japan and all over the place.
Absolutely. Nobody, even in China, they don't like pubic hair in their mouths.
You know, I think it's a worldwide thing.
It's a worldwide thing.
Yeah, no one likes that.
I think it's a universal language. Nobody likes pubic hairs in their mouth.
Hey, man, ladies, order it for your man. If you don't like the pubic, like, don't just have him do it.
Exactly.
If you don't like it, Manscaped 4.0.
Ladies, advocate for yourself. Manscaped 4.0 Lawnmower.
Tell them again how to get it one more time.
One more time. Manscaped.com. Type in HCP4. HCP4, right? And worldwide shipping for free.
That's it. You guys heard it from the man, Lord Impeller himself.
Lord Impeller himself. Big Court. Hey, Big Court, producer Ken. Y'all enjoy the show. Holding Court Podcast.
Yes, sir.
After, well, actually, Courtney, after that, after I won my pro card in 2013, 2014 and 15 were rough years in bodybuilding.
Really rough, rough. In terms of
2014. Now I'm competing as a pro.
Right.
14.
Right.
Okay. And then I go to, there's no classic yet. Mm-hmm. There's 212.
Yes.
212 division.
Yes.
And I go there.
Mm-hmm.
And I do terrible.
Mm.
My New York Pro was my first
New
pro
York
show.
Pro is stiff competition.
It's a stiff show.
Yeah. That's.
And I was excited to do a stiff show, my first, you know, my opening show.
Yeah.
But, oh.
You got washed.
Last place.
Damn.
Last. Wow. 16th.
But you paying your dues, though, because you get into a different, you know what I mean? Because it seems like you kind of had a easy
trajectory. Yeah, yeah, it was going, you know, this way.
But then you got up there with them big boys, you know what I mean? Because New York Pro is usually a warm-up to the Olympia. You have to win that to qualify, right?
Yeah.
So it's going to be hard.
Yeah, and that's exactly what it was. I got last place.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, damn. So then I did another one later in the year in Phoenix, Arizona. And a little bit better, 12th, 13th place.
Okay.
And then I was like, damn, I started kind of thinking, damn, am I made for this? Can I do this?
Yeah.
Am I going to make this in 5 years?
Yeah.
You know, the losses will beat you up a little bit.
Do you think, well, I mean, I think those losses really are lessons. You know,
absolutely.
That's how you got better.
Yes.
You know, that's how you got better. Because think about it. If you had to just walk through it, there would be no incentive to get better.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'd just be cruising.
You'd just be cruising.
And I would have never made it.
Yeah. And there's nothing to challenge you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So once you do that, right? So you do the Phoenix thing,
mm-hmm.
right? And you get washed.
Washed.
Okay. Okay.
Washed.
So then what did you do different?
Then I took all of 2015 off.
Okay.
I said, okay, I'm not going to get on stage again until I'm ready,
mm-hmm.
how I want to look and ready enough to win that damn thing.
Yeah.
Win.
Let me ask you this. Do you think politics played a part? Because I hear that a lot. Now, I've never competed, so I don't know that whole thing, but is that a real thing?
It is.
Really?
It's a real thing.
Okay.
And that happened to me in 2019.
Okay.
Yeah, which we'll get into.
So do you think it was politics then or just you being a fresh face and having to figure you out to get the
That's
bring the
more
package?
So what it was.
Okay.
I didn't look the part.
Okay.
Yeah, I didn't look the part. I didn't look bona fide and qualified enough.
Got you.
To be winning anything.
Got you.
At where my physique was and the level that I brought.
Got you.
Yeah. So it wasn't, I got what I deserved.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
That's the mature part.
Yeah.
That's how you get better.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So you take 15 off, you go back to the drawing board.
Yeah. Take 15 off, go back to the drawing board, and it's time to put on some size and some weight.
Mm-hmm.
Some weight and some muscle tissue.
Mm-hmm.
Because those boys, that's the first thing I noticed in the pro league was I noticed triceps.
Yeah.
Right off the bat.
Yeah.
And so, like, these cats' triceps,
just got so much sweep to it.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, it just looks so, you know, yeah, like a big croissant hanging off the bone.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, my triceps have always been a struggle part. We ain't going to talk about that. Go ahead.
Yeah, but that's what I noticed. Yeah. I was like, damn, that's another level of triceps, man, on this damn game.
Right.
and amongst everything else, too,
right.
Triceps is what I was like, damn.
Off subject, Kai Greene got the oddest tricep.
Does he?
Yeah. Have you seen
Kai Greene? Seen his triceps.
It's the oddest tricep.
It doesn't seem like he has big arms, but those probably don't match the rest of his arms.
It's genetics. It's straight genetics. The way that it's shaped. And but anyway, go ahead. I digress. Go ahead.
So where was I with...
You go back to the drawing board.
Yeah, back to the drawing board in 2015. And it's time to put on muscle tissue.
Yeah, yeah.
It's time to put on some muscle tissue because I need my triceps like that. I need all my sweeping areas to be like that. Triceps, lats, quads, everything.
Mm-hmm.
I was eating In-N-Out like every other day.
Wow, you was getting the calories.
Yeah.
Packing that shit on.
Yeah, that shit was fun.
Yeah, yeah.
That shit was fun. But, see, I'm still kind of new to the game.
Uh-huh.
Still kind of new to the game then. So... I didn't understand that, man, the best way to do it is to put on lean tissue.
Lean tissue. So you don't have to kill yourself.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Cardio. And so it doesn't look so, you know, your muscle doesn't just get big.
Yeah.
And it looks watery and soft.
Soft. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. You got to maintain the leanness and quality.
Like Sean Roden off season is a dope boy. He turns it to a dope boy.
I don't know why he does it. Yeah. And why he does it to himself, because he has to come back down so far.
Yeah.
But he says it works for him.
It works for him.
And I'm like,
he's a straight doughboy.
He is.
I see him off season. I'm like, boy, you're a fat boy.
He is.
But he dialed it in.
He does dial it in.
You got to kill yourself.
And he loves to eat.
Yeah.
He loves to eat Twinkies and baked goods, cookies.
Right.
He loves it.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, you're not going to take that away from me.
Yeah. He's like, fuck it. I'm going to do the three hours of cardio.
Yeah.
I know what I'm doing with this cookie. Yeah. I got to do the 3 hours.
Yeah. And when it's time, I'll be ready. It's all about putting on that. And I got fat, though.
Okay.
But I got fat eating in and out every other day, every 2 days.
Okay.
You know? And I started noticing, like, damn, you look. The quality isn't good, man. You look soft.
Yeah.
You getting big. The weight, the scale is going up, but it's, it don't look sexy.
Right.
It don't look sexy, let alone it doesn't look like you going to be winning anything.
Yeah.
You know, in any show.
Yeah.
Compared to what these cats are looking like, what you saw, what you know you need to look
right,
like.
Right.
So that was a rude awakening. So we started bringing it back.
Mm-hmm.
We started bringing it back a little bit. And then... And about the middle of 2015, they announced Classic is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
They announced Classic Division.
Okay.
Okay, is going to come into this thing. Because I'm preparing for 212 now.
Yeah.
I'm winning the Olympia, 212 before then.
Right.
So they announced Classic, and I'm like, I start thinking, okay, you know, the weight that I need to be at in the Classic Division is the same weight that I want my pro card at.
Mm-hmm.
When that's 175, and then 176, went in my pro card.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, oh boy, maybe I can be more. I'll get to a faster track on winning the Olympia in Classic Division.
Yeah, right. Makes sense.
And so that's what happened. I went to the first show on Classic. It was here in LA, Muscle Contest.
Mm-hmm.
First pro show.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just so upset because I wanted to, I thought that I could win the show and I wanted to be in that show
because,
man, it brought everybody, it was so popular, it brought everybody out.
Mm-hmm.
All the little YouTube stars, all the bodybuilding stars they would even fly from the from the East Coast to come watch this Classic show.
Yeah.
And that was in the beginning of 2016.
Right. And where was that show held at? Here in LA?
Here in LA. Veterans.
Okay. Veterans. Okay.
Veterans.
Right.
Yeah.
Is that Culver City?
Culver City.
Yeah.
Yeah, right there. And I was so mad because I was like, man, I should be getting some of this shine.
Yeah.
Everybody's here to see it. So much press.
Damn.
And I was upset. So Danny Hester ended up winning it. You know Danny.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Danny Hester ended up winning it. A good friend of mine. So I was happy for him.
Uh-huh.
But I was just upset that I wasn't in that thing.
Yeah.
And so— From then, I went on a tear, man.
Mm-hmm.
I went on a tear. to have my first, I call it my first real pro show. Mm-hmm. Now I'm ready.
Yeah.
In 2016, July of 2016 in Boca Raton, Florida.
Okay.
That was going to be my first classic show.
And which show was that?
It was called the Prestige Crystal Cup.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And with that one, there had already been a guy who's the hometown guy, mm-hmm. who used to be an open guy,
mm-hmm.
who used to compete with Ronnie Coleman and all that in the Olympia.
Mm-hmm.
He would get like 8th, 9th, 10th place. So he'd be, mm-hmm. back then, you know, it was like from 1 to 10 mm-hmm. was hot.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
He was real.
Yeah.
What was his name? I forget his name. But anyway, he had done a couple. He came down to Classic, and he's older guy now. Yeah. Came down to Classic, was winning a few shows, was really sweeping a lot of shows, doing a lot of shows.
Mm-hmm.
Because that wasn't the first Classic show of the year, mm-hmm. you know, in July. And so it was in his hometown in Boca Raton. So everybody was like, oh, he's the favorite.
Mm-hmm.
He's the favorite.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it was a lot more motivation to go into his hometown and beat him with my comeback.
Yeah, for sure.
So my conditioning this time, Courtney, man, I would say I was probably under 3% body fat.
Really?
Under 3.
And I know you probably felt like shit.
I did.
Yeah, because I always say that the better they look, the worse they feel.
It's true.
Yeah. You look beautiful.
It's
you
true.
Look strong, and but somebody could push you over.
Yeah. Yep.
You know what I mean?
Because, you know, you're dehydrated.
Dehydrated.
You know, you're tired.
You're carb depleted. Carb is, you know, that's a function for the brain. You need that. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Main source of energy.
Yep.
All depletion all the way around.
Mm-hmm.
All the way around. But I looked great.
Yeah. Do you get the sunken in jaws?
Oh, yeah.
Down? Okay.
Yeah. Get sunken in jaws. I had those, had the sunken in everything. Mm-hmm. I could see striations in my my neck.
Wow.
You know, when I would turn like that, I would see striations.
Yeah.
And I could see them and when I'm talking in my jaw.
Damn.
Right here.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
You see striations, feathering of them. I was like, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So that means you had it dialed in.
Dialed in.
Yeah.
Under 3% body fat.
Wow.
So I was shredded to the socks.
Yeah.
And I ended up beating him.
Okay.
I ended up beating the hometown dude. It felt great.
When they announced you, you know what I'm saying, as the winner.
Yeah. Like, that felt great. That felt like, oh, okay, now we really on to something.
You felt redeemed?
Yes.
Yeah.
Now we really on to something in the pro
mm-hmm.
division.
Mm-hmm.
We really on to something here.
Mm-hmm.
We got to keep this thing going.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you win, you know, you're now your self of accomplishment.
Yeah.
And your
confidence.
Self of drive and confidence is
woo-wee. Yeah.
So then I took that to the New York Pro, which is another prestigious show. They have a guy who... Oh, we talked about the prestige of that New York Pro. They had another hometown guy that works at Bev's Gym,
mm-hmm.
which is a popular gym amongst our community in New York.
Bev Francis.
Bev Francis. Yeah, mm-hmm. And so I went to that gym and got a look at the judge, Steve Weinberger.
Yeah,
before the showtime.
Okay.
And I remember him saying when I did my back double bicep, he was like, "Damn!" He was like, "Wow."
Yeah.
And I remember that. I was like, damn, he said, wow and damn. Yeah.
I see you because you got the little Christmas tree.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, wow and damn.
Yeah, you got the Christmas
tree. Double bicep.
Yeah, yeah.
So that gave me even more so that, man, I'm going to beat this hometown guy. George mm-hmm. Peterson is the hometown guy's name. I'm going to get this guy in New York. And New York is known for politics.
Yeah.
They're known for that hometown guy is looking close to the part.
Right.
They're going to give it to him.
Yeah, because, I mean, who is it? Victor Martinez?
Victor Martinez.
Yeah, he dominated over there.
He did dominate.
He's New York.
He's New York.
Yeah.
And rightfully so, because Victor was looking
beast.
Great.
Yeah.
He looked great before he got in trouble.
Yeah, but even if he was just off a little bit, that was his home.
It's his home.
Yeah.
And they're giving it to
mm-hmm.
him. And New York is supposed to be like, you know, it's like the Apollo to where they're tough on the outsiders.
Yeah, for sure.
You
that's
know?
Their culture. That's
yeah.
The culture.
Yeah. 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 So... Man, I got there and ended up winning that show,
mm-hmm.
right? From the momentum of the one in Florida,
mm-hmm.
winning that show. And now everybody's like, oh, okay, Breon's getting ready to win this Olympia.
Mm-hmm.
This is in 2017 now.
Yeah, yeah.
He's getting ready to win this Olympia. And I believed I was too. Mm-hmm. I believed I was, because mm-hmm. I just knew what I looked like. I knew the confidence that I had with what that nobody was looking like me with quality mm-hmm. and conditioning. Mm-hmm. They might have outsized me a little bit in certain areas, but nobody had the detail and the separation and conditioning mm-hmm. that I had.
Because you came into, I remember seeing the pictures, because was that the year you had even striated glutes?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And that's shit that only Phil and Ronnie and them pulling off. Everybody can't have striated glutes.
No, they don't. And that's a genetic thing too, striated glutes.
Right.
But you could definitely get, if you get shredded enough mm-hmm. and if you get conditioned enough, mm-hmm. you can get those striated glutes.
Yeah.
You got to get conditioned enough. And because that's where all of us hold most of the fat. And glutes, low back, hamstrings, that's where we hold most of the fat.
Right.
And so to be shredded back there, mm-hmm. you got to put in that work.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
So you win the New York Pro.
Win the New York Pro.
Who was the competition? Who was the other competitors? This was the first classic, right?
This is the second one now. Second classic show.
Who was the competition?
George Peterson was the main one.
Uh-huh.
He's a hometown kid that worked out at Bev's.
Uh-huh.
And let's see, Jamie LaRoyce, which is an LA guy out here, and then another veteran that competed in the open division as well that came down to the classic. I forget that guy's name. But yeah, it was some
stiff competition.
Yeah, some heavy hitters.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you qualify for the Olympia, winning that.
Qualified for the Olympia.
Okay.
Already winning the Florida one.
Okay.
Yeah, already from the Florida one qualified. Okay.
What's the purse for the New York Pro?
New York Pro was only, I only won $1,750.
Okay.
$1,750.
That's what it is for the New York Pro. But that's for the classic.
For classic.
What is it for the open?
Open, I don't think it's any more than like 40,000-50,000.
Really?
Yeah, I don't think it's any more than 40,000-50,000.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy. So, I mean, let's touch on that for a second before we get to the, you know, and I know we briefly talked about that, man. You know what I mean?
How can you do it?
Like, what is the...
How can you stay motivated?
Exactly. Like, why do they... I understand. I guess... Okay, so let me try to make this make sense. I guess what the entity is basically saying is that, okay, people are showing up to look at the freaks, you know, and I mean that respectfully, not in a disparaging way, but the open.
Mm-hmm.
So they're basically saying, this is our draw. This is what people really want to see. And we're going to give them, you know, the majority of the money. And you guys are kind of like extras in this show, but these are the main cast members. Is that basically?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
That's pretty much it. But just recently we have, you know, Classic has really gained a lot of momentum as far as popularity.
Yeah, for sure.
And I would even say it last year.
Yeah.
We probably had just as much hype and just as much draw as probably ticket sales and all that.
Yeah,
as
for sure.
The open guys,
for
I would
sure.
say it finally almost caught up last year.
Yeah.
But still, guess what the prize money was for Classic last year? 40,000.
40,000.
As opposed to open 400.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow.
What a gap.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
So that means that Bikini ain't getting nothing.
They got all the women's divisions because the, see, this is a political thing.
Right.
All the women's divisions got 50,000, all first place women's divisions, 50,000, because the owner of the Olympia is, he just loves women.
Oh, wow.
He's the owner. Yeah, he just loves women. He's the owner of the Wings of Strength. He loves even buff women.
Okay.
And who knows, maybe all women.
Yeah.
But no, he knows buff women.
Yeah.
But he gave all of them 50,000. And let me be careful maybe on that, but because I don't want to say too much.
Because you still got to go compete.
Yeah.
They'd be like, Brian, I'd be talking
shit. Yeah, talking you know shit about.
Talking shit. 15. 15.
really? Back to 15. But yeah. So they got, all the women got 50. We were at 40.
Okay.
And how are you going to live off that?
And the killing part about it is we know what it takes.
Yeah.
To even, I mean, when you're talking about food, you're talking about supplements, you're talking about, hell, you spend that just getting ready for a show.
That's it. For preparation.
For preparation.
And it's so you at a loss.
Yeah.
But now we don't even talk about what Arnold pays.
Right.
For the classic.
For the Arnold.
It's the Arnold.
Yeah. What is he
pay? The prestigious Arnold.
Yeah.
$5,000 for a classic.
Really?
Five.
And what's the open?
Open is 290, 290,000.
Wow.
Or 295.
Wow.
Something like that.
So what do they say to justify that? What is their justification?
I'm sure their justification, it's always money. So mm-hmm. I'm sure their justification is the draw.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure it hasn't paid its dues as far as ticket sales.
And yeah.
The numbers don't match
yeah.
with putting people in the seats.
I don't know about that because
and I don't
mean,
know either.
Because the thing about it, I mean, and again, I'm not as close to it as you, but from what I do know, you know, people are more attracted. People love to see the freaks, mm. but people are more attracted to the classic. Mm. That's why people were excited that it came back because it's more aesthetic. It's more attainable mm-hmm. in a sense. You yeah. know what I'm saying? At Absolutely. Least in their mind. So, and it's more marketable.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like you can wear clothes. You can still, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. To where it's not like imagine Phil, and I love Phil, but imagine, you know, Phil can't get a suit deal. He can't get a, you know, it's certain endorsements that just not going to make sense to put him with.
Sure.
You know what I mean? So
we're marketable for sure.
Right. So I'm assuming that athletes like yourself, I mean, you offset that short prize money with endorsements and doing sponsors and different
Have
things
to.
Like that. Right. Right.
Have to. Or else I'd be over there on Skid Row. Courtney, like, hey, brother, we yeah. need help. No.
Yeah. When did you get your first sponsor? How did you land your first sponsor?
First sponsor was a supplement company.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And just emailed them mm-hmm. or they reached out to me. I'm sorry. They reached mm-hmm. out to me saying, are you looking for, they saw I had some momentum going,
yeah.
you know, as a pro.
Yeah. I mean, when Olympia is a hella momentum.
Yeah. But it didn't even happen. It didn't happen till after I won the first one. I didn't even get a supplement sponsor after the first Olympia.
Damn. So you had to do it all.
Yeah.
It was all solo.
Yeah. I had to do it. I didn't get it until the 2018.
Wow.
The next year.
Okay.
So it didn't come knocking on my door.
Damn.
It didn't come beating
That's
down
crazy.
My door. No.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, because I have a supplement company. And I mean, the thing about it is for me, I mean, I don't know. Because you have the look, you got the smile, and you can speak and shit. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like I feel like motherfuckers would buy my shit because you standing next to it.
Well, see, the thing about it is what I battled early on, even in like 2013 and 14, was mm-hmm. that everything was about Instagram followers.
Yeah, yeah.
Everything.
Yeah, that's the resume now.
Yeah,
yeah.
And I was like, damn,
yeah.
You're not even noticing that I'm of the accolades. You don't see the pro win.
Yeah.
You don't see this, that I'm invested in the sport, that I'm someone who takes this stuff.
But you see, it's like that in other arenas, too. It's the same thing with music. Think about it. It's the same thing with, I remember what was Tyler Perry. I think he had hired Kim Kardashian to do a role in his movie. And people were kind of like, well, why didn't you get a viable actress, you know, a seasoned actress? But at the end of the day, she has the influence. That's the day. That's what we're in. At the end of the day, that's what it's about. Because, I mean, if you think about it, Denzel, Jim Carrey, Will Smith, they get $20 million a movie. Why? Because they put asses in the seats. Mm-hmm. I mean, yes, they're very talented. But I'm sure there's an unknown actor that's just as talented as Denzel. They're not going to give him $20
million. Right.
You know what I'm
right,
saying? Because
right.
he don't have the influence.
He don't have influence.
So that's just where I try to tell young artists, because that's my world.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we at right now. Instagram, social media, how many people are paying attention to you?
Absolutely.
So even in bodybuilding, you can have the physique, you can have the accolades, but at the end of the day, it's like, we know you, Mr. Olympia. How many followers you got?
Right.
I mean, what if you weren't on social media?
Oh, if you weren't, then, you know, you'd be up a creek.
Damn, that's crazy.
Up a creek.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Wow.
Up a creek.
Wow.
Yeah. So then I was like, damn. That's what it's all about, huh?
Mm-hmm.
So then I started, I hated, I didn't like it initially.
Me neither.
Social media and
I didn't
telling
either.
People what I'm doing and, you know, mm-hmm. I'm like, what do they care?
I ran from it for years, bro.
Yeah.
You know, I learned, I just been on social media 4 years now.
Yeah.
And I obviously learned the value of it, but, you know, I hated it. You know? Especially because my background, you know, I come from, you know, I'm a reformed gangster. So, you know, we always wanted to be, even though I was a rapper, but it was still like that's in front. You know, I could compartmentalize. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I know how to put the brand there.
Yeah.
My private life, something different.
Yeah.
You know, so social media, you know, it robs you of your
anonymity.
Sure does. Yeah. Sure does. And I felt the same way. I was like, well, I don't care. Who cares what I'm eating for breakfast?
Right.
Who cares what I'm getting ready to do after I train or what I'm taking to our train? You know?
Yeah.
It's the end result of where I'm looking like.
Yeah, but you learn a lot of people care, though.
A lot of people care.
Yeah.
A lot of people care.
Yeah.
About the silliest things that you would think.
Yeah. The most mundane things you'd be like, you know, yeah, but you're right. It's content.
Yeah.
You know, but so you win 17, right? And then, so that, I know that was a great feeling. I'm Mr. Olympia now.
Wow.
That's history too.
Yes, but you know what? But from the momentum of leading up to that win, I wasn't like overcome and so emotional and overwhelmed. I was like, yeah, I deserve this. I knew it was, I was expecting this. I was expecting to win this.
Right.
And that was the feeling.
Okay.
So then just, oh my God, I can't believe.
Wow. Yeah. But you said that you had confidence that you was going, you knew that. You went into it with like, oh, I'm finna.
I went into it with my 5-year plan.
Yeah. You manifested
it.
Yeah.
And when, and even especially that year when things start coming together and I made up my mind to go on a tear and be in the best condition possible, less than 3% body fat. I was like, okay, I'm coming to make the name.
So then you win it. Then what do you do?
I win it. I start messing with a lot of white women.
Oh, shit. Yeah. That's the common thread. So now you got more white women.
More. Okay. That's when it came back.
Okay.
That's when it came back.
You like this shit just like college. Yeah. Yes. Come one, come all.
Come one, come all.
Okay. So we got more white women. And then what else you do?
Well, then I started. But see, I don't have any money in my pocket still, though.
Okay.
Okay. Because the first win.
But they say the white women will. You know what I'm saying?
Support you.
Yeah. Not
they
really.
I had. They thought from the champion that I was the one.
Okay. I see. You know? They was looking for the come up from you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Now, I had a little bit. I won 20,000 from that. I had a little bit initially.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
But, you know, that could dissipate. You just living in L.A.
You see? Yeah. In L.A. Yeah. That ain't nothing. That's a few months.
Right. Yeah. So I had to. Man, get on social media more. I had to really do this thing and start to post more and start to extend myself more and start to reach out and socialize more on that thing, you know, with comments and all, start my YouTube channel. I had to do all that. I had to do all that and to, like, hire a videographer to follow me around every damn day I could get the content.
That's imperative.
Yeah, yeah. And then so I really just started thinking, oh, man, and I got the – It hit me that, you know, you really don't have too much, but you got the 20,000 and you have the trophy, but do you really have any real money coming in or really any income coming in? So that's when I said, okay, I got to do this social media stuff. And then get the, as they see, my numbers are growing on the social media. Now I get to maybe the supplement sponsor. And then I hear people getting paid on YouTube, you know, as for content. All right, let me get on that. And that's when I really started doing that and really started focusing on that on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah.
And making it a job.
You had to focus on the business part of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I was like, okay.
Your business, your brand at that point, you're Mr. Olympia.
Yeah.
Breon Ansley is a brand.
Yeah. So, yeah, I started doing that. And then, you know, things started coming together. Still was trained. I still was able to juggle. It was different, too, also because you now, for the next year, you have to juggle all this content stuff and make all your training count and make your meals count and all that, you know. But now I have to stop in the middle of eating, having a bite and say, you know, so guys, this is what I'm eating. And that was different.
Yeah.
Real different.
Yeah.
Real different and frustrating too, because it's like, man, and because of that, am I taking away from you know, how focused I need to be to win this thing again?
Right.
You know? But I was able to do it again in 2018.
So, yeah. So what did that feel like?
That felt, because of the juggling now on all of that felt great.
Okay.
That felt great. Still, I felt like, you know, it was I worked for it.
Yeah.
But it was a different feeling of more of an accomplishment, because I felt that I had more on my plate now. I had more on my plate to take care of and more of my plate to juggle.
Yeah.
And You know, so that was an accomplishment for sure.
Yeah,
for sure.
That I'm pretty sure that just solidified, that stamped everything.
It did.
The Olympia is hard. That's the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. So you got back to back on the ass.
Yeah.
On that.
Yeah,
back to back. So I'm sure 2018, more accolades, more sponsors.
Yes. Now they're starting to roll in because now I built that year of what I was doing and the mm-hmm. social media. Now, you know, getting some endorsements mm-hmm. and some opportunities. Mm-hmm. Just in the world, though. Mm-hmm. Just in the world of bodybuilding.
Okay.
You know? Mm-hmm. Because you remember, I was in the acting business.
Right.
I'm like, right. Where I really want to go, though, mm-hmm. is get the mainstream.
Yeah. Yeah.
Get the mainstream endorsements. Get the mainstream sponsors. That's when you're really hitting. Mm-hmm. That's when you're really going. So.
Were you able to do that?
Let's see. Let's see. Nah, not quite
still
yet.
Still trying to land that one.
Still trying to land that yeah. mainstream.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What you think about Cali Muscle?
I think he's a genius at
Man,
social media.
Ain't he killing it?
Killing it.
Killing it.
I think he's a genius at social
but
media.
But think about how crazy that is, though. You know, I love Cali Muscle's story. I love his movement. Yeah. But think about that. You're Mr. Olympia.
Right.
Best physique in the world.
Right.
You know, and right. now you have Cali Muscle, who has a, you know, great physique, mm-hmm. you know, not Mr. Olympia, mm-hmm. but he still has a great physique, but this he getting to the money.
Getting to the
getting
money.
Getting to the bag.
And there's so many others that are yeah. getting to the money yeah. that aren't Mr. Olympia.
Right. Ain't that crazy?
So many others. And
what
yeah.
do you think? Why do you think that is? What is he doing that you think that maybe you could be doing or others that have that title aren't doing?
Well,
or can't do, or maybe they can't do. What do you think that is?
I think that these guys were, they got an early start with social media.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Cali Muscle, all the guys that I'm thinking of, Simeon Panda and Ulysses and all these guys, they got an early start. So they were doing it in 2013, 14, heavy in the game.
Yeah, yeah.
And they built it.
Right.
But you know, I wouldn't say that they're doing anything different. That I'm doing now mm-hmm. at this point.
Right.
Now.
They just got
they just got an earlier start.
Okay.
And they went in and they kind of got like, you know, the multi-level marketing, how you got to get in. And
yeah. The timing was great.
Yeah. Yeah. And
then, I wonder why Simeon doesn't compete.
He did compete. Mm-hmm. He did in the, it was called the WBFF or some, it was like
a
natural
great physique.
Does. Yeah. Yeah,
natural.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's a natural physique. So what he says. Oh, Simeon has a look too that's like,
man, come on, bro.
You know,
I didn't even know he said he wasn't natural.
Yeah,
really.
He's saying that.
Oh shit. Okay.
Yep. So
I got a cough on that one.
Yep. Right. But a great physique.
Yeah.
And doing the damn thing.
Yeah, for
doing
sure.
Doing the damn thing on for all sure. those platforms.
For sure.
And probably making millions, probably making
wow,
a few million.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's the world that we're in.
That's
you know?
The world that we're in. Yeah, he could ruffle feathers. I know he's ruffling a lot of feathers.
Yeah.
Because Stephen A. Smith said, you know, I don't believe in this. I can't get on this.
Yeah.
But Max was like, well, you know, it is what it is. And you got to keep up with the Joneses and you have to understand.
I mean, you know, at the end of the day, man, it's still entertainment. You know, even when you look at bodybuilding, it's a sport, but it's entertainment. Football, basketball, rap music, it's all entertainment.
Yeah.
So when you get to the, you know, the business of it, yeah, it's like, okay, people want to see it. People are going to pay to see it. Okay, fuck it. Let's do it.
Let's do it.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And I get it. It waters down the sport. It can, you know, cheapen kind of what, you know, but I like to think a lot of those things are phases, though. Those are just trending right now. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. he's not going to be able to keep up with that. It's a moment. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a difference between a moment and a movement. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So the people true to it, it's a movement. True. That's just a moment in time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He'll have his 15 minutes. Not to take nothing away from that young man, but I'm just saying, you know, it's a moment.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
So
I became serious with social media, man.
Yeah.
I became dead serious with it, on it all the damn time, every day, like a job.
Yeah.
And juggling. Now, okay, because what I still struggle with, mm-hmm. I still struggle with is like, damn, I have to make every workout count.
Yeah.
I have to make every workout count. I mm-hmm. can't be, because that was the thing I used to say. I was like, okay, you got these YouTubers who lift.
Yeah.
But then it's a whole different ball game when you got a bodybuilder that's trying to go for a title.
Right.
That's being filmed.
Yep.
You know, that the YouTubers, they can take sets off.
Yeah.
And they could take, you know, a couple minutes to talk to the camera.
Right.
And all that. But no, our rest periods are important.
Yeah.
To get down to it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. So that was a struggle for me, man. Yeah. And I still struggle with it.
Yeah.
To be on point with the training.
Yeah.
To talk to the camera. Yeah. To be
a
friend with the camera.
I see.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
I still mess with it.
It looks like you do it effortlessly though.
It's tough still, Courtney. I appreciate that, but it is tough.
Yeah.
It's tough. Because
I've seen you. I've watched from afar. And I'm like, wow, like he's got this camera, but he got all that weight on his back. Shit. You know what I mean? Because I know the focus that it takes to even do that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. You got to be focused.
Yeah. That's commendable.
You
got
to be focused. And from A to Z, you can't have any, you know, you can't have any stops on your way up.
Yeah. So now we go into 18.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens? Does the politics kick in or?
You mean, okay, when 18?
When 18, 19. I'm sorry, 19.
Now we go into 19. Yes, they do.
Okay.
Yes, they do. So I believe they do.
Let me play devil's advocate.
Okay.
Because I didn't see 19.
Okay.
Did you show up better?
Yes.
Okay. Nothing slipped?
Nothing slipped.
Okay. So what were the politics?
The politics were that they were ready for, oh boy, I'm about to say it.
Go ahead. Shit. Say it. Let's give it to us. Come on. I'm your boy. Come on. I got you.
They were ready for a white guy to now represent the classic champ.
Really?
Different guy, different look than me, white guy.
Now, is this you thinking this, or this is pretty much you kind of got some intel, or it's a common thing?
It's obvious. It's obvious.
Really?
Yeah, because he did not look better than me.
Damn. So think about this. So you go to Iowa, you know, you go to Iowa
back there,
and you surrounded by all these white folks, and now the implicit bias at some point catches you, and it catches you at the height of something you've manifested.
The white woman caught up.
white woman and the white.
Okay, so you feel like it was a racial component.
Yeah, I do.
Oh, wow.
I do.
Okay.
Of course, like, how they make it, how they kind of weaseled it in there and worked it in there. Of course, it was covert, not overt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
You know? But
you came in second.
Second.
Okay.
Yeah.
Who was the guy that won?
His name is Chris Bumstead.
Is he the one that talks a lot of shit?
No, he doesn't really talk a lot of shit.
Okay. Because I think I've seen one of the pre-Olympia things.
Mm-hmm.
And I know, who's that? The dude that be antagonizing, he'd be instigating.
Oh, yeah. That's like
Dennis James.
Dennis James and, you know, and other and, white and cat. Sean Ray. Or Dennis James and the
old school.
Bob Chicarillo.
Yeah, Chicarillo.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's always instigating, talking shit. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
For sure. And that's their job.
Yeah, right, right.
But no, Chris is cool.
Okay.
Chris is cool. But also, Chris had, at the time when he won, had a million something followers.
Okay.
On Instagram.
Okay. Okay.
Okay.
Damn.
And so, yeah. And I had like 500,000 or 600,000.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. So he edged you out on Instagram. So man, he did. So it's not that he beat you on the stage. He beat you on Instagram.
No way. Beat me on Instagram. Beat me with a different look.
Okay.
But I had already, we knew that it was going to be, we were going to be, we'd have to watch it.
Yeah.
And we were questioning this because in 2017 when I won, or excuse me, 18, the last one that I won, man, my physique was so superior to his and they had me beating him by 1 point.
Really?
1 point. Wow. Just 1 point difference.
Mm-hmm.
And my physique was just.
And what pose was that you beat him in?
All of them.
Wow.
All of them.
Mm-hmm.
There wasn't one single pose that he outposed me in.
So how did he win? I mean, what was the edge? I mean, we know what the edge was, but what they had on paper, like, how did they justify that?
Oh, that's a good question, because we don't see the
scorecards.
Yeah, the scorecards on, well, we see the scorecards or the final numbers, but we don't see who judged him on what pose, who judged him on what pose looking better with, what were the numbers on this pose? What were the numbers on that pose?
Okay.
You know, the breakdown like that.
Right.
We don't get that.
Wow.
We don't get that. And we don't get that probably because there's no athletes union.
Right. I was going to get to that. Yeah. I was going to suggest that. Yeah, why?
We don't get it.
Yeah. Because Sean, I know Sean.
Whatever they want.
I know Sean Ray been pushing that for a long time. Yeah. I know Sean Ray gets in a lot of shit.
He does.
People don't like him.
He does.
You know, and yep. He talks a lot of shit. Yep. You know
but
saying?
He's also in the game.
But I think he was on to something when he said that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I know some of the guys were like, oh, you bet. Almost like some slave shit. Like, you know. Like, man, you know, he's like, you know, Master treat us good.
Yeah.
Sean Ray, like, no, like, right. This shit ain't cool. You right. Know what I mean? Right. So
2019.
That's 2019. That's not Chris's looking 2019, though.
Uh-huh.
That's not Chris's looking 2019.
So I'm going to go use the bathroom. Yeah. Go ahead.
That's me in 2019, but not him in 2019. That was him last year.
So we can have the regular body cat talk to the body cat.
Yeah, that's why it's not the big court show right now. It's the big Breon show.
Yeah. I'll take it as the big Breon show for the moment, at least.
tell me about football. All right, so you played in college. Who did you play with, though?
I played with a lot of good guys.
Like notable NFL like buddies who went on to play?
Yeah.
Like who were some of the people that you played with that you was cool with in the college level?
Well, I played more so against them. They didn't have too many because Iowa State was middle of the pack in the Big 12.
Yeah.
But some guys, Sage Rosenfeld went to the league in my year. Reggie Hayward, James Reed, they all went to the league. J.J. Moses. But some of the most notable guys that I played against was Ricky Williams.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Ricky Williams, when he went to Texas and he just set a record on us when we went out to Texas and played them.
Sir. No, Ricky's a beast.
Yeah,
a
beast. Without a doubt, he was a beast. Let's see, Amon Green from Nebraska, Scott Frost from Nebraska.
Do you still keep in touch with anybody from those days, the football days?
Just from Nebraska, just the guys that I went to high school with, and that would be Ralph Brown and Daylon McCutcheon.
Okay,
yeah, I went to high school with those guys. So
yeah,
and they both played in the league. And see, that's why I had all my buddies playing in the league.
Yeah,
all my buddies were playing in the league. That's why I'm like, man, I need to be in the league with them.
Yeah, for sure. I've done a bunch of shows around sports, and we do a lot of sports here, so we get people on all day long. But I don't know. I think maybe like that competitive edge from football is also what you carried over into the weightlifting.
Without a doubt.
Yeah.
Without a doubt.
Because when you look at the numbers of like the people who play at the collegiate level, they end up going to the NFL. It's such a slim margin.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's it's slim from high school to college, and even slimmer from college to pros. College to the pro,
Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah,
but you know, that's and then once you know that though, you're like, oh, I gotta get there. I gotta be the one of the few.
One of the few elites.
Yeah, yes. Absolutely.
So we back.
We back.
What y'all talking about? Twinkies.
2019. Oh, I see what you're talking about. I know how you do me, Court. It's all good.
Oh, that's my brother. That's my brother right there. 20 years.
Ooh, y'all go back 20 years.
Yeah. That's my brother.
That's good.
So now the politics kicks in 2019.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, all right. So you think it was a racial component to it?
I'm going to put that out there.
Yeah.
I'm going to put that out there because I believe there were a couple other brothers that you could have that would look better than Chris.
Okay.
Okay. That you could have given it to.
Yeah.
If you're going to just if you would just want somebody else to win it.
Yeah, I got you. I got you.
But just looking at him and looking at his following and looking at how they did it, it was just like kind of blatant.
Okay.
Really obvious.
Wow.
Kind of obvious.
Wow. Have you ever expressed that to the entity, you know what I mean?
No.
Okay.
Can't do it.
I got you.
Can't do that.
I got you.
Unless I'm ready to be like a Colin Kaepernick.
Yeah.
Unless I'm ready.
Damn.
Then I got to be ready to step out.
Right.
To, you know, because it's kind of like a good old boys club.
I got you. Do you think that maybe that's what happened to Sean Ray? He was so vocal that maybe because he was so vocal about different things, advocating for the sport and for
It's so funny because when I see old shit, you know, and I know Sean Ray does talk a level of shit, you know, but to some degree, he was really kind of right.
He was.
In a lot of shit.
Very right.
Yeah.
Very right. Very. And Sean Ray was so, he was very eloquent in how he put
it. Yes, absolutely.
He was
well
spoken.
Yeah, well spoken, articulate, everything. Yeah. Because he would tear someone down and another athlete, but he'd do it intelligently.
Yes. You know? Yes. And so I guess they, because of that, they you know, they handled it.
Yeah.
They handled him for a second. Or because of that, maybe that's just, he's still in the game.
Yeah, yeah.
He's still in the world.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, he did it that way and to where I guess they might be listening to him just a little bit, but they didn't all the way.
Yeah, right, right, right.
It wasn't all the way. There wasn't change. That was the necessary changes weren't made.
And we're still talking, what, almost 20 years? Because Sean was in the 90s.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And he's been singing the same song, you know, so.
Yeah.
So we kick into 20. Was it? No, 20 was COVID.
Yeah, 20 last year, yeah.
So there was a competition?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
At the end of the year, they moved it to December.
Okay.
In Orlando.
Okay.
Florida, where everything is open.
Open, okay, okay.
Yeah.
And so how did you fare in that one?
Third place.
So who beat you? Who were the two?
Chris.
Okay. Okay. Number one again.
Number one again.
Okay.
He won again.
Okay.
And then another guy that I beat in Florida at the Prestige Crystal Cup, who got third.
Wow.
He came up and got second.
White guy?
Black guy.
Black guy, okay.
Did he deserve to win in 20?
I think Chris deserved to win in 20.
Okay.
Yeah. I would say well-deserved.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, is that because...
See, there's a good balance there, though.
Right,
there's
right.
a good balance there.
Yeah, so it's not completely just...
Yeah, it's not that you're just saying that, like, nah, I, you know, it was just... It was that thing that year, because you looked better, but last year...
Yeah, and last year... I give him, and last year I didn't bring my best to the table.
Oh, okay.
I was not my best.
That's 100.
Yeah, okay. I was not my best. I deserve third.
Why did you feel like you were? Was it just because of the year?
I think it was because of the year.
Yeah.
I wasn't. I was in and out of gyms, certain gyms. I wasn't. I didn't have my routine.
Yeah.
Of going to a gym with all the equipment that I like.
Was you fucking around over at Zoo?
I was there.
Yeah. Okay. I see why you came in third. Nothing.
A few times.
Nothing against Zoo, but I see why you were struggling trying to
get into a groove.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it never got into my groove.
Yeah.
Also, I got too heavy.
Okay.
Too heavy and had to lose too much weight and too short of a time to where it just messed everything up for in the preparation leading up to the show. Yeah. So. Oh, that's going to be corrected this year.
Oh, yeah. So when is it this year?
October 7th.
Okay.
October 7th weekend.
Okay.
Yeah, in Orlando, Florida again.
So I have an interesting question I want to ask you now. I went and took a leak. I thought about it. So, I mean, how did you manage to, and I think I know the answer, but how did you manage to escape the bullshit? You know, and when I say the bullshit, like me, I come from an urban area, so does Ken. You know, how did you manage to escape the gangs and the... You know, the trappings of how did you manage not to go the other way and get led astray? You know what I mean? Like, do you think that was because you had the foundation of a two-parent household? Do you think, you know, or was it just in you? It was just innate that you just knew off the back? Or was it being participating in sports and being involved in stuff? Like, what kept you from going to that dark place or going down that dark path?
Yeah, I would probably just definitely attribute it to the sports.
Mm-hmm.
I would attribute to the sports and my parents just having me in sports and my love for the sport.
Mm-hmm.
Growing up, I mean, I didn't want to do anything else but play whatever, have a ball in my hand.
Wow.
You know?
That's dope.
I didn't want to be in a gang. I didn't want to be running.
Were there any pressures of that? Were there?
No, because I was... I grew up fairly well, middle class.
Okay.
To where I had everything I needed.
Okay.
And I wasn't around.
Okay.
Around
so the environment, that wasn't even the environment.
Yeah.
I got it.
In the environment. I had some run-ins, though, as a youngster to where, you know, I just think I'm a badass.
Yeah.
And you have a little phase of being a badass.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You start smelling your piss. That's what my mom used to say.
Yeah. To where, you know, I... I smoked cigarettes for a week.
That's hilarious.
You know, throwing up whatever signs for a month. You know? And
he had a month.
He said he had a solid month.
Yeah, a month. Yeah, that's it.
I ain't never heard that.
What gang were you in for a month?
I was probably telling them that I was from Rolling Heights Crips or something.
Was it really a Rolling Heights Crips?
No, there wasn't. It wasn't even a Rolling Heights Crips, but I made it up.
What was the sign you made up? You still remember it?
I was throwing up some R and C for Roland and Chris. Something. Yeah.
So did you have a crew? Was it just you?
I had two other guys with me.
Okay.
Yeah, it was deep.
Yeah. So what made you pick the Crip instead of Blood? Like,
I don't know. For some reason why I connected with the damn, maybe Snoop Dogg.
Okay.
I don't know.
Or maybe just Rolling Heights Crips just had a flow to it.
Yeah. Oh, because I know there was a Roland.
Yeah.
There was a Roland 60s.
Right.
Right. So I was like, okay, well, let me stay with the Rolling. Let me stay there and just make it Crips on where I'm from.
Okay. Yeah. So was you the leader of your three?
I was the leader of the three. It was three of us.
All right.
And we would have our little, you know, our blue on.
Yeah.
And, we would throw that up and say that.
What kind of dirt did you do during, you know, your 1 month?
Let me see. What kind of dirt did we do, though?
I mean, because you got to have ops. Who was the ops, though?
That's why we were phony.
So we didn't even have any. By 30 days, it's like, you know what? We bored, bro. We ain't got nobody to fight. Fuck it. Let's go to the gym.
We wasn't banging on nobody. We were banging, you know.
That's hilarious.
Into the air.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
So you did that. So you just really just, you know, you didn't want to do all of that bullshit.
I didn't want to do all that.
Because if you're looking for trouble, you can find it.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. Ran into some trouble with girls, though.
Why?
Ran into some trouble with girls, though.
I mean, what, you got your windows busted out?
Yeah. I have.
Yeah, really?
I have.
Oh, I was joking.
Yeah, trying to play around. Yeah. Windows, tires.
Damn.
Headlights. Car, you know, all of that.
Man,
I woke up to a girl standing over the top of me with a frying pan.
Damn.
Getting ready to whop.
Then white women get down like that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they do.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah, they do.
It's levels. As the white guy here, it's levels of white women.
There is.
There's the Italians. They're crazy.
They get angry.
They get angry.
They do.
Yo, there's levels to it, Court.
Really? Yeah. I wouldn't know.
Yeah. And even like the, okay, so I'm going like towards the, like the South American.
Mm-hmm.
South American, Central American women. Mm-hmm. Oh.
Yeah. Which one of them presidents said hot-blooded? Yeah. South American.
Yeah.
Was that Trump? Yeah. You know, hot-blooded. Latin.
Latin women. Spice.
Wow.
Spice and fire. Same thing with the... you probably remember Layla from 24 Hour Fitness, my ex-girlfriend. Persian.
Oh, them Persians. Woo! Yeah.
Woo, Middle Eastern, too. Middle Eastern.
Wow.
But yeah, had a couple run-ins though.
So
trying to play around and trying to, you know, do my thing. Yeah. And
you lying to him.
Lying, you know.
Yeah.
To where I should be like D-Ray and just be honest with everybody.
That's just what it is. Three girlfriends.
There it is.
You ain't know? No reason for you to lie, bro. You ain't got to lie.
Just lay straight up and then let them make the decision.
Me, I don't do no lying and no playing. Yeah. But if I were, I'd just be straight up with it.
Straight up.
I'd be like, check this out. This is what it is.
That's the you best roll way to go.
You know what I'm saying? You with it or you ain't.
That's the best way to go.
Ain't no reason to lie. Because the thing about it is, most of the time, they'll probably say yes anyway.
You know what I mean? I know, but we're afraid for some reason that they're not going to go with it.
Yeah.
But they probably will. They respect that honesty.
Yeah, because I have I get hit on a lot, you know what I'm saying? And I tell women, I'll say it as a joke. Usually I tell them, I'll be like, you know, now I got an old lady, you know what I mean? And they'd be like, well, I can be your friend. And so I tell them, I say, man, listen, you know what I'm saying? I got a girlfriend with a wife on the side. You ain't trying to get involved with me. You know what I'm saying? And they'll be like, well, I mean, you don't got room. And I was like, I was just joking. You know what I'm saying?
I didn't want to even be the third.
I'm trying to actually push you away. You know what I mean? And they like, oh, but you're so honest. I'm like, I wasn't being honest.
Right.
I was being honest trying to get you to leave me alone. So,
wow.
Yeah. But
that a trip.
Yeah. So, all right. So 2020. Okay. So 2021.
This year.
So this year. So I know for a fact there's no more white women, only one. You know what I'm right. saying? So now you got you one solid white woman.
Yeah.
Oh, is she white?
She's white, yep.
Okay. Okay. Yep. Cause she a lot of people like think, she got a little something else.
A lot of people think she's Russian.
Right.
Or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I thought that too. Yeah. Like Czech or something. Czech yeah, or Slovakia. Yeah,
something over there. Eastern
yeah,
European.
Yeah, right.
But now she's just white girl from Texas.
Okay. Okay. So you focused. You got you one solid white woman. You know what I mean? So what kind of package are we going to see this year?
Man, crazy. Going back to my conditioning,
mm-hmm.
less than 3% body fat mm-hmm. when it's all said and done.
Mm-hmm.
More complete, mm-hmm. more symmetrical and balanced everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have better shape of flaring lats.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And just the quality and conditioning, because now I got another year of muscle yeah. maturity.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, I can't wait.
Yeah. I mean, one thing I know your strength to be is, man, you got crazy quads and hamstrings.
Yeah.
Crazy quads.
Yeah.
I think initially when I seen your physique, I kind of thought like, damn, because I felt like your lower body was overpowering.
I could
a
be.
Little bit.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think you're right.
Yeah.
I think you're right. My upper body needs to probably catch up.
Yeah. Because you got such a sweep. I was looking at you in the gym a few weeks ago. I was like, God damn, you see this motherfucker quads from the back. I was like, who got quads you can see from the back?
Right.
And I was like, shit, I need to figure out what he doing.
Right.
You know, so I need to do some squats or something.
Yeah.
But then I see you in the gym. I mean, you train hard and you're focused, but I'm like, he's doing lunges. Like, I see you, you know, you would think with the level of physique that you have that I see you doing a lot of what I would consider finesse exercises.
Mm-hmm.
Like, is that because you already have the mass and you're just fine tuning
it at this level right mm-hmm. now? Because I have to come down to such a low weight
mm-hmm.
that there's no reason for me to be doing heavy compound lifts because I don't have any more tissue to really build.
Right.
I can't afford to build any more tissue because
right.
I'll have to just lose it all again to come down to the weight class.
Got you.
The weight cap.
Got you.
Now, after this year, I get the title back,
mm-hmm.
Courtney, then I'll probably go to 212.
We talked about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'll probably go to 212 yeah. because they'll keep the weight class the same.
Yeah.
And then it will be nowhere for me to grow.
Mm-hmm.
My body naturally wants to be around 210, 215
mm-hmm.
if I eat one, two meals a day.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So might as well grow,
mm-hmm.
put some more tissue on, see what that looks like.
Yeah.
And it's all about improving
right,
and getting better.
Right.
So, and we can't really do that and improve and get too much better when you're stuck at that weight. That cap.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Okay. So, yeah.
Is the prize money more for 212 Olympia?
Slightly.
Okay.
Slightly. Okay. Like $10,000 more, $10,000 or $15,000 more.
So it's the 50.
It's 50.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it's at 50.
Well, that's a little, you know.
Not bad.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Not bad.
It ain't 400.
Right. It ain't 400.
But even with that open, they get the 400 and ain't there some other shit attached to it?
They get, no, that's just it.
Oh,
400.
Okay. So 400. That's what Phil got?
Yeah, he's got that.
I thought he
did
more than that. Yeah.
Yeah, he's got about three times.
Speaking of Phil, what do you think about Phil?
I think Phil is, I think he just needs to get his gut in check.
Yeah.
Because he had hernia surgery.
Yeah,
surgery.
I saw that. Yeah.
And that just messed him up as far as like,
yeah.
how it
looked
is.
A little just funny. Yeah.
So it's distended a little bit.
Yeah.
And, you know, it messes with his breathing and his body control a little bit. So if he gets that in check, I don't think anybody's messing with Phil with that in check.
Yeah. Where do you think his head and his spirit is? Because he seems a little, I don't know. I don't know him. I haven't been around him, but just per social media.
Yeah.
Phil is usually very outspoken and confident, where a lot of people take that as arrogance. But it seemed like he's a little more docile and.
It does.
I don't know if it's because he's humbled or is he broken?
Ooh.
You know?
Yeah, it could be. Big difference.
Yeah.
Big difference.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Because it could be broken because I don't think Phil was done.
Yeah.
I don't think he was done. He wanted to get at number 8 and he lost it. And then he was really excited about this comeback to do it again and get it back. And it didn't happen. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Damn. We have to see.
Yeah.
Well,
Phil and I are, you know, we kind of have the same story.
Yeah.
He got second in that year, and
he got
third last year as well.
Yeah.
Third for me.
That's crazy.
So.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Man, yeah, because yeah, when I see him sometime, I don't know, and I could be reading too much into it, but it just, it's, I don't know. It's almost like maybe that spark. He's got to find that spark. He's got to dig deep.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I don't know, just the type of person that I perceive him to be. I don't know him, you know what I mean? But, you know, he shot straight up and dominated quickly, you know what I'm saying? Quickly. And then to kind of take that drop like that. And then he strikes me as somebody who's sensitive to what people say.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? So now he's being kind of ostracized and critiqued, and you know what I mean? And he knows there's something going on with that. You know what I mean? So I don't know. I guess we'll have to see.
We'll have to see. But I definitely want to see him back and do it again when he's a more complete feel.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, because that's one of the best. That's one of the best physiques we've ever seen.
Yeah, really. Yeah, Phil is dope.
Yeah.
So what you got new? You got any new projects? Any new films, plays you're working on? I mean, you know, products. What you got?
I wish it was some films, some new films, because I'm still in the game.
Okay.
I'm still in that game, and I don't I'm not throwing that out the window at all.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we're still in this mainstream game.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you can do like Kai doing. It seemed like Kai is successfully kind of segueing into doing what Kai wants to do. Yeah. You know what I mean? He kind of, I think Kai peeped the bullshit and was like, you know what? I'm going to take what I've done in this sport and I'm going to build off of this and go, you know, I'm taking my ball and I'm going to play over there.
Good for Kai.
Yeah.
Good for Kai. And he's doing really well. And, you know, his platform is just, it's a huge platform.
For sure. Yeah. Kai is like the people's champ.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? People just love him. They love his story, and he's very charismatic, you know, eccentric.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, I can imagine trying to, you know, sit down and interview and have a conversation with Kai. You know, you ask Kai, so what do you do for biceps? You know,
he'll go,
I mean, really, when you talk about the concept of a bicep, you know, you ain't have to think the spirit. It's like, dude, I just asked you how many reps you did. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's Kai.
Yeah, so.
That's him. Roundabout.
Yeah, roundabout. So anything you want to plug, my brother, like, you know, anything, any products, anything you got going on?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Have my website for thedamnwind.com, number four. thedamnwind.com.
Okay.
And we have ebooks on there. We have merch on there. We're going to have new ebooks coming out really, really soon, maybe in the next week or two.
Okay.
And these ebooks are, you know, I have seen other ebooks and they are very short and limit and they're limiting.
Mm-hmm.
These are extensive, give you a lot of information. Mm-hmm. We work so hard on them. So these aren't your average ebook.
Yeah.
Yeah. So have the posing. I'm still doing posing sessions for competitors because this is a big year now. The competition season is in full swing and it's heating up.
Yeah.
And yeah, to all my sponsors, you know, I love those guys. They take care of me and they take care of whoever would love to be taken care of by them. HD Muscle, Trifecta Mills, Vanquish Fitness, and Nirvana CBD.
Okay. All right. Dope.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, listen, man, it's been a pleasure, brother. On my show, Holding Court, you know what I mean? I made this platform because I love to give people their flowers while they're here. You know what I mean? And I just want to tell you, I appreciate you. I appreciate what you represent, how you represent the sport. You know what I mean?
Thank you.
How you represent for us, for black men in that sport, and how you represent for bodybuilders and us muscle guys. You know what I mean? Because a lot of times they mistake us for you know, bone heads, muscle heads, like, you know, like just big dumb jocks. You know what I mean?
Right.
You know, but I love the way you carry it. You know what I'm saying? So
Thank you so much.
Keep being great. You keep doing what you're doing. You know what I'm saying? Mr. Olympia, hopefully we bring it back home for the 21.
Yes, need another one. I need a third one. See, the third one is now, the third one would be a dynasty.
Right.
You know?
Right,
the third one is like a dynasty. The third one is like the trilogy.
Yeah.
You know?
For sure.
Dynasty and all that. So we need that.
And it's
we
the
need
story.
That number three.
And I love the story up to that. The fact that, again, you got to dig deep. You know what I'm saying? Because you won it, you came in second, and you fell to third.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I understand. You got to kind of like, I got to dig deep.
Oh, for sure. I got some scratching and clawing to do.
Yeah. But I believe in you. I believe you could do it, brother.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Yeah. So I appreciate you coming, bro.
I appreciate it. Right. Thank you so much.
Two hand salute, my brother.
Yeah. You know it, man.
All right. I see you in the gym. We're going to have to get a leg workout in.
Let's do it. Let's get those. You having those quad sweeps from the back.
I need that.
I know he's only self-conscious because his dad told him he needed to work on his legs.
Right? Yeah, man.
Oh, your pops?
Man, Courtney Sr., yeah. Oh. He straight threw me under the bus. Oh. And the nigga looked me up and down.
Oh.
Looked me up and down and was like, what your legs look like?
Damn.
Like, damn, pops, I got your skinny ass legs. Yeah. Your fault.
I know.
I got like, these high-ass calves.
Yeah, it's like, pops, man, I got all this length.
I got this from you.
It's hard to build, so much muscle on all this length.
Hey, man, he hit me with that. You
but
know
you
what I'm saying?
Do it.
Yeah, you can do it. I appreciate that, brother.
You're going to do it, brother. We'll be right there.
Yeah.
We'll be right there. We're going to get the leg
see,
day.
See, now man. I done it. Now when I'm on leg day, I'm going to be.
Yeah,
distant.
It's like, Cody, where you at? Where you at? I see you.
Yeah, it's all
what
good.
You working with?
Behind the scenes leg day coming soon.
Right.
Right. Vomit and everything.
yeah. That's a gruesome day. I actually have to prepare myself. The whole day before I'm getting ready to do legs mentally.
Yeah, for sure.
Mentally. It's a mental thing.
It is, definitely. Yeah. And you know you do it right when you feel like you want to vomit.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. Because you're just pushing past like thresholds of you know, your body and limits, mm-hmm. limitations. Like when you think that you have, when you're gassing, you don't have any more reps to do.
Yeah.
Now you say, oh, okay, now I got to manage to do 10 more reps.
Yeah.
So That's an out of body experience,
and that's where the growth starts.
Yes, it. That's where the growth starts.
That's where the growth starts. All right, my brother. Salute,
I appreciate you, Courtney. I had so much fun.
Yeah, and, likewise.
Yeah.
All right. Right on.
All right.
There. Ever thought about what makes your heart beat a little faster?
Oh, you mean like when you discover a new track that just speaks to you?
Yeah, or finding a movie that you can't stop thinking about?
Well, get ready to feel that excitement all over again because Amazon Prime is here to take your entertainment and shopping experience to the next level.
Absolutely. Prime isn't just about getting your packages quicker. It's about diving into a world of endless possibilities, from the latest releases to exclusive content you won't find anywhere else.
And don't even get me started on the music. Prime offers concert specials that will transport you right to the front row. It's like being at the hottest gigs without leaving your living room.
I use Prime to tap in with some of my favorite artists' live shows from any and every genre of music.
Trust me, Prime is a game changer. It's like having a personalized superstore and entertainment hub right at your fingertips.
So why wait? Head over to amazon.com/Prime and start experiencing entertainment like never before.